The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout.
It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn,
and my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're in the throes of the bye week. Talking about everything NFL and Patriots for the next 2 hours here on PFW in Progress. Web radio at patriots.com is our email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And the toll-free version is 855-PATS-500. Eric's here. Paul's here. Andy's here. Kevin's in the booth. I'm here. And we're going to be here for the next 2 hours serving you. And this week when you go on the radio and all they're talking about is Red Sox and Celtics and Bruins, you know, except for when Paul's on the Sunshine.com show. That was a good hour you did yesterday.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I listened to it on demand.
You did?
Yeah, because Beatle, he tweets out each hour.
Yes.
And then you can just listen to that hour. So okay. I listened to the hour that you were on.
You talked about the Patriots?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they talked about the Patriots. They got into the offense is not good argument.
Who got into that?
You and
offense is not good for the greater good of the team.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay. I thought you meant like the offense, the Patriots offense is not good.
So was that the worst win of the year for them?
Well, that's what I...
Well, you know how we're going downhill now.
I gave it away to you. I told you what I was going to do before I even went there.
Mazzarotti even said, you know, he doesn't think Amendola had a good game because they weren't hard-fought catches.
They were all easy.
If you have an easy catch, you can't have a good game.
So I said, so
it's
the
his fault that he had.
The better you run your routes and the more open you get, the worse you are as a player. Okay, I get it.
Now I can see if like the four.
Now you're just mocking.
I can see if he was like 4 out of 8, and the 4 that he missed were tough catches. And he, okay, now I can see it. But it was like 4 out of 4.
Right.
You can only catch the balls that are thrown.
Listen,
at you.
To me, it was all about Gronkowski. But right. To dismiss what Dobson and Amendola did because they were wide open and weren't contested on their catches is ridiculous.
Well, see, the Dobson one I think you can question more because he had a couple bad ones mixed in with his catches.
Sure.
Like that jumping, leaping
right.
through his legs
right.
catch that should have hit him in the chest was a problem.
And that gets to their whole argument about, well, you know, these 13-10 wins against the Jets are really better than 55-31.
They're idiots.
They're not better.
They're just different. That's
right,
all.
Yeah. Right.
And it's, you know, and then Felger, of course.
Wins are like children.
Well, Felger, of course, he changed it all, and he said that, you know, no, it's good to win games different ways. And I'm like, well, who just wins one way? Well, Denver. I'm like, well, they were down 21-7 in the third quarter the other day.
They also lost.
You know, so what's the matter with that?
Right.
You know, is that not adversity? Isn't that winning a different way? Well, no. No, it's not about the points they give up, Tony says. I go, so what is it about then? The defense, I mean, you say you don't have to win every game, you know, 40-something to 20-something. Well, they won a game different. What, you know, what else is that? What, right. You know, what else do you need? Well, no, you know, but they still get 40 points. It's still all about the offense, Paul.
Well,
I go,
what's wrong with that?
So I said, so it would be better if instead of being down 21-7 and winning 40-something to 20-something, if they had just been down 21-7 and won 22-21. That's what you're looking for.
Right.
Yes, that's what they want. That's what they want. So, like,
oh, my God.
And listen, I enjoy it, and I enjoy teasing them about it after the fact. I like going on with those guys, but it really is an extremely narrow-minded look, and I thought I was stubborn, and I am stubborn, but it's incredible how they can paint every single scenario into one thing. That's not the way sports are.
Yeah,
few things in life are so single-minded.
And Beadle made a good point. He says, well, you know, you just got finished, Tony, saying how Gronk was wide open and guys couldn't cover him, so did he have a bad game? You know?
So. And his point was not all of his catches were like that. I go, so I'll dismiss the 37, the 34-yarder on 3rd and 14 that no one covered him on. That doesn't count.
Yeah. I mean, like Belichick used to say about the Colts, you know, somehow the guys just get wide open. So are we saying that Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne were no good because of that?
Either that or we're saying Manning wasn't good because he didn't have to, you know, thread the needle. I don't know what – it's kind of silly.
Yeah. All right. So what else we got? You know, I thought that we had an extended discussion yesterday about the whole Jonathan Martin thing, and I thought we might get reaction like, "Oh, why don't you talk Patriots?" But it was the opposite. People really liked that conversation,
because it was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, especially for us, I thought it was pretty rational. Like,
yeah,
I don't think anybody took it to you know.
Andy tried, but we reeled him in.
Wait, no, what did I do?
He didn't take that to the theater to be absurd.
No,
he took
he didn't.
Offense early.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. You know, Pittsburgh and Dick LeBeau. I used your line, by the way. I think Dick LeBeau retired when he lost to Tebow. Yeah. They like that. I gave you credit.
Yeah,
I gave you credit for that.
I actually opened the radio I did yesterday with your line. Screw the Sox, let's talk some Patriots.
There you go.
And he did not give you credit.
No, I did.
I didn't want to sound like an idiot.
So what else is going on today in the world of, I mean.
Bad news, Freddie, on Tony Dorsett we were talking about.
Yeah, he might have symptoms of CTE, which said he's pretty sure he did. He does.
And also considered
Suicide. Yeah.
Has thought about it.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. It is. You know, so whatever side you're on, I think everyone has to agree we need to keep looking into this and getting more info and doing as much research as possible and not stop. Not at any point say, oh, all right, we have enough info. You just got to keep gathering the data.
I know we'll probably move on to some other stuff today, but, you know, the incognito thing continues to be the main story. More than just sports.
Well, new things are trickling out.
It continues to trickle out. And, you know, there was an interesting piece on Monday Morning Quarterback today for a former teammate, sort of siding on the incognito side and giving more clarity to the relationship and what went on. But I had a question on, like, a bigger level. Do people care about this? People, football fans. Like, does this have any bearing on a football fan caring about how much they like the NFL, you know, this subculture or the locker room, whatever. And B, if they do, the NFL's had a lot of black eyes for a while now. Is there any chance that this is going to screw the growth? You know, burst the, you know, I'm talking about Bounty Gate and this and, you know, Hernandez on some level.
In a warped way, this kind of makes it more attractive because it's a microcosm of society. And this is an ongoing story that people are now wrapped up in, and they want to see the conclusion. They want to see what's going to happen with this.
And that won't push any peripheral fans sort of away?
I don't think so.
Leave
but
a bad
however,
taste.
I saw the story, and I read the story you were talking about on Monday Morning Quarterback today, and, you know, I went to the comments afterwards. And
you love doing that, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, I
think
I want to see
the
what
only one
say.
Ever does that.
I never do it.
Well,
and let me guess, it got to AIDS or something.
No, well, abortion. I didn't read that far. You know, there was an abortion reference. But anyway.
Was there really?
No, no.
Oh.
But you know, there were a certain percentage of people that are saying, you know, I disagree with what the player's saying because, you know, he's relating these guys to warriors and all that stuff. And it's like, no, you don't need that, all that special type of society and rules to play football. And I was, you know, and then there were the other people saying, you know, Jonathan Martin shouldn't be in the league and all that stuff. But there are some people, and that gets to your
shouldn't
point.
Shouldn't be in the league because he's a bad player or because of
he's not suited for football.
Oh,
see, you know, but to your point, Andy, there are some people that maybe, you know, these guys think too much of themselves.
Right.
You know, you're not warriors. You're not defending the country.
Yeah.
It's not life and death. You're playing
it's
a child sport and getting paid for it. Get over yourself.
And strangely, the NFL, which is no questions
getting
asked the biggest sport, has had these more of these scandals than anybody. I mean, baseball has had steroids going on and off and on for a decade now.
Just ask Bud Selig. He'll tell you about the cocaine problem in the 80s.
And
oh, yeah.
Steve
Howe.
Basketball had the Donaghy thing with the officials. Yep. Are they on the take? But football is kind of almost seems like every year they have something that kind of grows into this massive story.
Again, like microcosm, I had a discussion with my wife this morning. And we were talking about bullying, and she's like, you know, I'm not sure about, you know, we teach kids that, you know, if you get bullied, you should stand up for yourself, and so you're teaching them violence. I'm like, well, you know, you got it sometimes. You know, I was taught, you stand up to the bully, he'll move on because he doesn't want to fight.
Right.
She goes, okay, what if it's a girl? Do you tell them to do the same thing? And I'm like, no, they have to go get help.
Right. You know, punch a bully, but you never punch a girl.
Right. So what's
wait a minute?
No,
it's
a girl on girl.
Girl on girl.
Now Andy's excited.
No,
like
no.
If a girl's bullying you,
yeah, the girl should punch
then drop
the bully back.
I think it's the same.
See,
thing.
I
dropper.
Don't. If I'm a dad, I can't.
Sydney Hart will be told to drop her.
Yeah. I wanted to go get help, and I just said it
after you knock her out, get help.
I said for guys, it's different. Guys are just guys, and they have the testosterone that women don't, and you know you have to stand up for yourself. And yes, is that preaching violence? I guess it is. But
I'm not sure
it's not violence.
But it's violence to stop violence.
It's self-defense.
I think I've seen more girl fights growing up than I saw boy fights.
Yeah, I've seen a
God.
Few. Yeah.
Classics.
I mean,
I don't want to get into I probably will.
No, but I'm being serious. So it's not like girls don't fight.
I know that.
I think there were more girl fights than guys.
But you always hear about guys being taught by their father,
right,
stand up for yourself, don't be bullied.
Nip slip.
But you don't really hear about girls being taught that. You know, you don't. You really don't. And
you're hearing about my girl being
taught
that.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. Real quick, I did hear a guy call in yesterday on Dennis and Callahan, and he was saying how he has a daughter who was getting bullied and, you know, came home one day. She told him about this one thing, so they told her, you know, to go and report it. So she did. The next day, something different happened, reported it again. The next day, The girl that was bullying, it sounded like they were like middle school-ish or maybe even a little younger. The bully cut her hair. So when she came home that third day, and now after having reported it twice, nothing happened. The guy, the father, taught the girl how to protect herself and how to defend herself. The next day, she punched the girl in the jaw. Well, guess who got suspended?
The girl who
punched? The girl who's gotten bullied.
You know, but the father was like, I have absolutely no problem with it. She'll accept her punishment, and she's never going to have to deal with this again.
Why was the bully who cut the hair not suspended for cutting
the
girl's hair?
But also, shouldn't the parents go further? If you're going and telling authorities and nothing's being done, that's a bigger problem.
Well, he didn't say what actually ended up happening, you know, with the bully and all that, but...
Well, victims' rights in Massachusetts are huge. Perpetrators' rights. That's what this, I mean,
that's
so
ridiculous.
Many people get away with
that's
it.
So ridiculous.
I've actually had my friend who's a cop was telling me they went to a big thing on town and youth bullying, because this is a major thing. They went to, and they were talking about how violence isn't the answer. And he actually said, well, just so you know, if I am dealing with a situation where it's obvious bullying is a part of it, it's hard to discipline the one who's defending themselves. That's how you continue the problem if you tell them they can't defend themselves.
You're right.
At some point, they need to stand up for themselves. And this led to a whole discussion between the experts, you know, of bullying and all that. But, I mean, I don't know how you can tell a kid to not stand up for yourself.
But you're
going to get suspended,
but
don't possibly ever hit
anyone. But you can also make the argument that we need to stand up for them.
Yeah.
They shouldn't
be
alone. They shouldn't need to stand alone for themselves.
No doubt.
Yeah. And this girl was forced to stand alone.
I don't think the parental intervention helps in the long run. I really don't. Yeah. I think that ends up
fine line.
It ends up getting you in, making you more of a mockery, and you end up getting
because of the way and you're right, because of the way our society is. Yes.
Well, yeah, but that's life.
No.
And that's
you ratted me out. Oh, okay.
Well, that's what I wonder about this incognito thing. The more we hear about it, had he just dropped him, you know, in the lunchroom, dropped him, even, you know, won the fight, knocked Richie Incognito out, isn't there some part of you that thinks Incognito might have got up and, like, hugged him and is like, that's my guy, that's what I've been looking for, like...
Well, if you believe that side of
it,
yes. Yeah.
So...
Now, the more time goes by, the more that's kind of the way it looks, like... Martin's looking less and less good as time goes by. Let's put it that
way. I'm still waiting for somebody to defend him, other than Andrew Luck, who loved him in college.
I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible how universal the
and it less and less feels like what I brought up yesterday, that they're sort of defending themselves. Mm. Now it just feels like...
Now there's guys that aren't even in the locker room that are defending Incognito. And it's kind of... The fact that voicemail came in April, and he played it for everybody...
Well, and he saved it. Right?
No, but he played it for
everybody
and laughed
and
everybody
was laughing
as a joke.
I know, but
and the fact that they didn't play the rest of that email, that voicemail on TV is also...
You can't draw conclusions on that, because a lot of times the person being bullied will try to fit in, and ha ha ha. Meanwhile, they're agonizing over it, and you know, they're trying to not let it bother them until finally.
If I was agonizing over something, I wouldn't be sharing it with other people.
Well, you're trying to make it seem to them that it doesn't bother you.
Why?
Trying to
they don't
in.
Even know about it. They don't even
in.
Know about it.
No, but that's the point. It's almost like a thing. I want you to know about it.
Yeah,
I want you to think that I don't
not
care
buying
about it.
I'll tell you, it's getting worse as the days go by.
I think it's pretty.
This guy doesn't like football. He doesn't like anything about it.
That's fine.
He shouldn't be playing.
But Richie Incognito went over the line in trying to toughen him up.
I said this yesterday. I'm not defending Incognito.
Yeah, I'm not sure he went over the line either.
I'm not defending anything.
Like, even that voicemail, as Paul
using
said,
a racial slur.
They left out the part where he says, all right,
call me back. Call me back.
Or whatever the end was, in like the different voice of like, we're pals. So I just. Incognito wasn't in trouble when he was using the N-word with Pouncey.
And Ryan Tannehill.
So where does that end?
Ryan
start,
Tannehill
begin?
Making that comment yesterday about, if you would ask Jonathan Martin last week who his best friend on the team was, I'll guarantee he would have said Richie Incognito, to me, was eye-opening.
Who said that?
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
That, to me, is eye-opening.
Yeah, I don't know.
Absolutely eye-opening. This, to me, I don't think he wanted to play football. He left, then realized he wasn't going to get any money. And then he had to come up with a reason why he left. And that's how this all went bad. And now this guy is the fall guy. That's how this is unfolding to me.
Yeah, I that would be something if, you know, that's the reason this all happened.
Certainly looks more and more like it every day.
You know, it makes it bad for all those other people who do get bullied.
Exactly.
Of course. It's just like anything else.
Yeah. It's the woman who claims rape who really wasn't raped or whatever, and you find out later and it causes, and then it hurts the people that actually are raped.
There's a million examples. Racism, there's all kinds of things.
Right.
When you claim those things, recklessly, it ruins the real lawsuits, the harassments and the sexual abuse and all those things.
The fact still remains, though, that Incognito is not exactly a squeaky clean choir boy.
Well, that makes him the easy fall guy.
I know, because he has
a track record of people not liking him and getting in trouble.
Right. I'm just saying that the facts still
remain.
The fact that
people who don't like him are defending him, to me, is even more so on the other side. Because the people that didn't like him, from other teams, are saying how much of an SOB he was on the field.
I know, but
they're defending him.
But you're still dealing, Paul, with a culture, though, that, you know, yeah, I'm okay with Richie Incognito because I'm part of this culture.
See, you think that this culture is what caused Jonathan Martin to quit. I don't.
Well, what if it was?
I don't care.
What if he didn't fit in with the culture?
Yeah, well, that's clear.
I mean, Tannehill also said,
they asked him, did you see this coming, or were there... Well, he'd have to talk to somebody for you to be able to see this coming. Like, he, from day one, was standoffish, all these comments from the, and didn't fit in. And the more we hear about the $15,000, was just like you or me. As Paul and I said, if the four of us plan a bachelor party, and I go book rooms, and it's $1,200, and we all agreed we're paying $300, and you go, you know what, I decided I'm not going. I'm getting my $300 out of you somehow.
Yeah,
you agreed to that trip.
You don't
trip.
Have to go, but give me my money.
You don't have to go, but, and if you don't, I'm going to be threatening
But that's kind of, this guy didn't fit in.
Right.
You know? And you know, there's a lot of guys that probably didn't fit in that got washed out for whatever reason, mm-hmm. get cut before something like this happens.
But, or got made to fit in or helped to fit in or, by being or whatever. Toughened up.
But this was one guy who couldn't get toughened up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I don't like the others. We talked a lot about the culture and the hazing and all that stuff, and I don't like that either. You know that, you know, how I feel on that. But just to me, and I said it yesterday, I just think there's a lot of layers to this, and it's not as simple as, oh, the big, you know, dumb jock went too far and crossed a line. It's not that simple. It's not. There's no way it's that simple. And it's like, you know, I think that you can use words that are obviously going to be things that you just can't say. And obviously the N-word is one of them. You can't say it, okay? But when you're in a situation where you have used that language, and not just incognito, but obviously in the locker room, and it's okay, and everybody's laughing about it, and then all of a sudden it's not okay. And now this guy is branded. He's done. And I actually think that the other guy's never going to play. I think it's a great question. Who has a better chance of ever playing in the NFL again?
Incognito.
I do, too.
And I think incognito has a better chance of playing, because I don't think anybody
that.
Will ever touch Martin.
Well, I also am not sure Martin will try to.
No, yeah. I don't think he wants to.
And I have some sympathy for Martin.
I have a lot of sympathy for him.
Even if this is what Paul's talking about, I think there's a chance he did something, and then it kind of snowballed, and he was kind of caught up in the situation, and he didn't really mean for incognito to become like this poster child for bullying and on every newscast. But it kind of just got
didn't he just text him back like last week something positive that they said that they had? I forget exactly what it was.
It's hard to keep up with all of it now.
Right. It just changes all the time. But I totally have sympathy for Martin, because imagine being that guy, like, this is what everybody expects me to do. I mean, I'm 6'6", I'm 320 pounds, I'm good at this. I don't really like it, but I'm good. Everybody wants me. I can't quit. I mean, we've seen this a million times.
Well, it's not all that different
than gifted actors or musicians.
So much.
I don't really even like doing this, but I'm good at it.
My family
expects me to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think that
I have a lot of sympathy.
I think whether you're a football player or a high school kid or someone in the workplace, when someone you know is a big weirdo, you got to back off. You got to back off.
But you see, I know.
You know, you can't keep teasing or bullying them about it. You know, you got to back off.
But at what point, like, see, you just operate under the assumption that for a year and a half, Martin has hated this, and everybody knows that Martin hates it, and they should have recognized it and backed off. Everybody thought it was a joke. No, everybody thought it was funny.
They knew enough.
And all of a sudden, he snapped.
They knew. I'm not saying that Martin all along gave them indications that he didn't like it. I'm not saying
that. No, to the contrary, he didn't.
But all along, he gave them indications that this guy's different. He's weird. He gave them those indications.
But I think that happens everywhere.
He's different from us. And so, you know what? We're gonna tease him about that.
Except it's his best friend teasing him, according to Ryan Tannehill.
Well, okay.
According to a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Fred,
don't know more than Ryan Tannehill.
They call him his little brother.
So the woman who gets abused in her home, who sticks by her man.
And everybody sees how the relationship actually is all the time?
A lot of times she hides it.
Yeah, I think I don't know why you have your pitchfork out for Ryan Incognito. Richie. I mean, Richie Incognito, but you do. And you continue to just blast past factors that are being thrown into the mix here and ignoring them and just saying, he should have seen this and he abused a guy with mental health issues.
I know that all along they've thought this guy was weird.
Okay. They thought he was soft.
And they called him the big weirdo.
But so wait, you don't think players get weird nicknames all the time that are rooted in some sort of... Every joke has a little bit of truth in it, right, Eric?
What do they call
the devil? He got his...
What do they call... You guys will remember this. The DB... It's Cole, Arrington, McCourty, Dennard. Which one of them was getting made fun of?
Oh, Miley Cyrus. Daron Harmon.
Daron Harmon,
yeah.
Okay.
What was he getting made fun of?
They call him Miley Cyrus.
Because he was twerking day in the locker room.
Okay. Exactly, exactly, Fred.
But that's not his personality.
No, but Fred.
Wait, how do you know?
That's something that he did.
But hold on,
maybe,
Fred.
No offense here, but maybe he's like an extremely homosexual guy who, yes, has tendencies towards that type of dancing and lifestyle and everything.
Just the way
that couldn't be offensive.
And if they knew that, And they kept hammering about it.
They don't know
but
that.
But they don't know that because Jonathan Martin always laughs
about
it with them.
So you should go get them to stop.
That's my point.
Just like Marquise, yeah. I mean, Daron Harmon laughs. Yeah.
If you keep laughing about it, this would be like me coming in, and I said this to Andy before.
I know, but that...
would be like me coming in today and going to HR and say, you know what?
Paul,
he's not calling me fat ever again. I'm going to get him fired. Whereas I've been laughing about it for 10 years with him.
That might relieve the people of any, you know, culpability and, you know, oh, you can understand why... They didn't know, but that doesn't mean it wasn't bothering him from the beginning.
But he didn't let anybody know it was bothering him. So why are you ripping Incognito for not letting up?
I think Incognito went over the line with some of the things he did.
I think the N-word is over the line. There's
I'm not even sure that is within their relationship and their environment.
But I'm giving you that. It you know, he's a white guy. Just different.
What about slapping his mother?
I have no idea.
That's, you know...
We say stuff.
Andy makes mother jokes all the time.
Is everything that's ever been said on this show about my mother? What if you play along with this.
I know, you can, but if it really bothered you when you said something, we'd stop.
Exactly. Right. I'd punch you in the face, but it doesn't. It's a joke on the show, just like Jonathan Martin didn't.
By all accounts, he just let everybody know what bothered him last week.
Right.
But you keep hammering away for him not letting up. But how did he know it was bothering him to this extent?
We're also not even sure he let people know last week. He walked out last week.
I don't even think.
He reached whatever his breaking point was.
I don't even think this is the reason why he walked out.
I think he just quit football.
I think he quit football. I think they knew this guy was weird from the get-go.
I'll tell you why.
They did.
You want my theory?
There is no disputing that, Fred. They knew from the beginning he was an outsider. He was standoffish. He didn't talk to people. But he also had a friendship with those people. We make fun of Eric for a lot of things. He likes art. In our environment here, we're not artists. That makes him different from us, right?
He didn't have as
He's not the big weirdo.
He didn't have enough
small.
Of
a,
he didn't have
a
enough
weirdo.
Of
a, it's a little strange.
In my mind, he didn't have enough of a friendship to confide in them.
Okay, well, his best friend.
I
don't know how you make a decision that Ryan Tannehill can't. And, like you're saying, Ryan
Tannehill it's the whole,
who's with these guys all the time, but you know more.
Well, they have a reason to keep their locker room together.
Whoa. Their locker room's fully together. They are 100% galvanized on one page, opposite Jonathan Martin.
And to preserve what they had.
What they have.
You know, they're not gonna
a bad football team with a bad offensive line. Gotta preserve that.
That got worse.
They're not
lost two members.
No, preserve what they had in their locker room. They're not gonna say, yeah, we were doing all this and just tear everything apart. You know, because this is what they do.
It's already been torn apart.
As you said, this is what they did.
It's torn apart.
You know?
The coaches are gonna lose their jobs. You know, the two players are questionable.
Oh,
I do. I think Philbin's out.
At the very least,
really?
The offensive line coach is going to lose his job.
If everything you guys are saying is true, why should he lose his job?
Because the NFL is going to come down. And they're going to
someone
because
the PC
this
police
is what I
or whatever
about.
You want to call it.
You know what's going to happen
then? Crack down.
If I'm Philbin, I sue the NFL.
The NFL's going to overreact. I'm telling you right now, and someone's going to lose a job.
I think they're going to come out with guidelines and all that stuff, but I don't think anyone's going to lose their job.
But I'll give you what my theory as to why he left last week. Why all of a sudden he got to a breaking point? They signed Bryant McKinney, and he lost his job. So he has this whole thing that he doesn't really like doing this, but he's good at it.
So
I'm
going to
keep doing it.
And now all of a sudden,
he says, I'm not even good at it. I'm losing my job.
Well, I also think that's an issue here on some level. He sucks.
Bryant McKinney.
If he were good,
that was
there would be a totally different.
So
why didn't he just leave?
This is all a cover-up.
It's a complete
farce. Well, he did, but then, I think these people that speculate, maybe his agent was like, whoa, if you just quit, you get no money. Your career ends and you have no money. But if this or what, I mean, something could be spun, and now all of a sudden it's an issue.
I don't think he realized that he wasn't going to get paid.
That why he supposedly put a retainer for this attorney, this sports attorney? Did you hear about
that? Yeah, Cornwell.
Something like that.
And again,
so you think
just because I'm saying
money
this,
is a big part of
it. I don't like that part of it either.
A part of it for all sides.
Yeah,
the Dolphins also can't cut anybody because there's cap ramifications and things there. They have to let it play out.
I mean, everybody's first instinct is, oh, I'm going to sue.
Well, that's,
you know, even if you get bullied, you know, okay, if, you know, and you truly get bullied, let's have some justice for the person that bullied you or whatever. But do you have to sue and get lawyers and all this stuff?
That's this country.
You know?
For everything, at every level.
Yeah.
And again, just because I'm looking at the stuff for, that I don't think Martin is handling it right doesn't mean I just say Incognito is, well, he's great. He's still a guy who has been the dirtiest player in the league, a guy who has been reckless on and off the field, and I don't like him. I think that he's wrong. I think he's done a lot of things wrong. I just think this particular case is far more complicated than, oh, he's the dumb white jock who used racial slurs against the cerebral black jock who doesn't like being a jock. I think it's way more complicated than that.
And it's the perfect storm. I mean, like, the whole story is sort of the perfect storm with Incognito's history, the race on opposite ends of the spectrum. I mean, it's the perfect storm for what it has turned into in an absolute turmoil.
Right. James Pettigrew says, standing up to a bully who then moves on to the next guy is not the solution. He makes a good point. You know, the bully needs help too. If you just stand up to a bully so he moves on to the next guy, that's not a solution to the bully.
Well, it is for
right.
you.
Well, it is for you.
Yeah, but it's not a solution
not,
for the,
it doesn't
the greater
cure
problem.
The bully.
Right. The bully needs also to be.
I know, but my priority isn't curing the bully. My priority is me not being bullied. To
no,
start
you.
With.
But,
so
but
you
society,
take, wait a minute.
The greater
so you're saying
society.
That if you're a
well,
bully.
The people in a positions of authority need to make sure that that doesn't happen.
But if you're a bully and then you're bullying somebody and then they stand up to you and punch you in the mouth, you just move on to another guy?
That's what you're told.
No, the bully.
Yeah, that's what you're told to do so that he doesn't want to fight you.
Talk, who's telling him?
We're not telling the bully anything.
He'll, no, you're
talking about life.
The person who is defending himself, they're told, stand up for yourself because they don't want to fight. They'll move on to somebody who doesn't want to defend themselves. That's what you're told. So the bully doesn't get cured.
I didn't really go that last step when I told Jackson. I just said, don't let anybody pick on you. And if
Right, let him pick on somebody else.
No, I didn't say that. Just don't let him pick
on
you.
I know, but that's –
because I'm just – have to tell my son –
but that's what's
going to
happen. If someone's a
bully – and if you see him doing that to somebody else, step in.
But not if everybody is – I mean
– bullies don't target everybody.
If you unify one side, whatever side it is – and I'm not sure you can fix bullies. Some are just a-holes. Some are just not wired right, just like there's murderers.
That's my
point. There's different degrees of being not wired right.
That's my point.
So you can't fix them.
Well – that's not true either.
I think some of them can't be fixed.
I agree with Andy.
Some really can.
I think some of them cannot.
But if you unify the bullied against them,
they can only move on.
They
have no targets.
Right. And not only that, it's a unified defense against them.
But again,
that'll tell them.
That unification is about banding together. It's not just one person.
Technically, he's being bullied by the whole group.
No. You know, it's having help. It's changing.
He had it coming.
It's changing whatever.
Oh, now it's okay.
You know, it's changing the environment of whatever allowed that bully to be a bully. Now you're going to change that environment or else he's going to keep being a bully.
Right. And by changing the environment is not having victims.
Right. But, you know, one person standing up, in James' point, is not going to solve it for the next guy.
No, but if everybody stands
right,
up, it's solved.
It's not that easy. What if you truly are much, much smaller physically and weaker?
Well, then you need help.
Yeah, you're
enlist
help.
Exactly.
Right.
Not everyone can defend themselves.
That's true.
No, but you can find people.
But
Eric was had
strength in numbers.
Geeky sometimes. Friends that were being bullied and they got together.
But you need to ask for help and go get it. And
that
people have
turn.
To be...
He said it yesterday. He had
I didn't say that. Well, I said
I
when we got older, we decided that we weren't going to
geeky.
No, I didn't. No. I certainly didn't.
No, he didn't.
Did not,
see,
Andrew.
I have confirmation he didn't use
geek
that.
Geek is not a negative term anymore. Geek squad,
right.
Millions.
No. Nerd and geeks are rule the world.
Right.
Yeah, right. Well, that's always been the case.
Well, I'm talking about the
I don't think that's always been the case.
I'm talking about
of course it has.
The people that were in the AV club are now the digital people. They now have
and
power.
They grow, and they grow up and you work for them. That's been a joke for as long as I can remember.
But it isn't, though. Like,
that's
I mean,
okay.
JFK was president. He was a cool womanizing bad boy.
Right.
Now we have the geek in the White House.
Right.
I mean, it's changed some.
Yeah, I don't.
I really
I don't look at
well
it the same way.
I got a friend
at all.
To call Obama a geek.
That's fine. You know? All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We do have people that want to talk about other things. So,
Patriots. Let's talk some Patriots. Screw bullying. Let's talk football.
Let's see. Christian writes in.
Says the bully
Chris
in the room.
With a TIAN. He says, great job
it's
yesterday
overrated.
On Felger and Mazpaul. Way to lay the smack down. He's got some midseason biggest disappointment surprises. Offense, biggest disappointment, Brady's play. I expect more out of the Golden Boy. Even though he's been under much pressure than usual, he's been way too inaccurate. Biggest surprise, not much. They all need to be better. A gun to my head, I'll go with Dobson and his recent two-game improvement. Defense, biggest disappointment. Linebackers, I expected more from Hightower and Collins. Hightower had a better game on Sunday, but I hope for much more. Collins has been basically invisible. I need more from a second-round pick than that. And biggest surprise in the secondary, with Tlaib in there, they have been much improved. Dennard and Ryan take their licks, but they compete well. McCourty and Gregory have been the steady presence the back end of this D has needed for years. So he says overall the secondary is the biggest surprise.
Well, no. I think Chris Jones is the biggest surprise, in my opinion.
That's a good one.
He wasn't here. That's we didn't know who he was.
Undrafted.
That's a good one. He's leading the rookies in sacks and playing full
he's
games.
Starting.
Positions right. Where they needed somebody to play a full game.
Yeah, I do agree that the secondary has been a very pleasant surprise, but I think Chris Jones, I mean, five
I
sacks.
Actually don't give the secondary the credit. I would say Tlaib has been the surprise, that he could be elite.
Yeah,
because
the secondary certainly looks a lot more similar to the way it was last year, the last few games.
Without Tlaib. So
without Tlaib.
I give Tlaib all the credit. And, I mean, Chris Jones is just doing it by himself. Plus, I like him.
I mean, the three
Chris
games,
Jones is my new life.
Really, if you look at the
puppy.
Three, the
there
three games.
A, there has to be some sort of catchphrase we can come up with Chandler Jones and Chris Jones, both of them having all these sacks.
You don't like Chut and Kruh?
Keeping up with the Joneses?
No, no one likes that, Andy.
Law firm of Jones and Jones. Inside out.
But you look at the last three games.
Jones to get to the quarterback.
They played badly against the Jets. They played badly against Pittsburgh. And for half of the Miami game, they were bad. Now, they were really good in the second half of the Miami game. But they get 17 in the first half, you know, against Miami. Three bad offenses, by the way. So without Tlaib, you can see just how important he was to that secondary.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. I guess people still do want to talk about Richie Incognito.
It's a perfect topic because there's no right and wrong, and there's so many layers that, and no one knows what the hell they're talking about.
Mike is in Irvine, California. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin.
Okay.
Now, there's a report out that Jonathan Martin actually went to the coach before OTAs and said the reason why he was going to be missing OTAs is because he needed to deal with emotional issues. Supposedly, he sought out professional help, and then came back, and everything was fine. He never once said that Richie Incognito was bullying him or he felt bullied or anything like that, just that he had personal emotional issues. Now, I think because they traded for Bryant McKinney, he lost his starting position. He couldn't deal with the pressure of the position that he had. He decided to say, well, I have more emotional issues. I need time off. He told his parents he wanted to quit. His parents said, well, why? Push him. So he came up with the perfect scapegoat. Well, this guy is bullying me. He made me do this, made me do that. He's saying this and that. And that was his perfect excuse because he didn't want to upset mommy and daddy.
If that's the case, then shame on Jonathan Martin. But, well, you know, that also lends in that he does have emotional issues.
And don't you think there's a chance that if he actually sought mental health help, a therapist or whatever said, well, you didn't tell your coach the truth. You really need to tell him that you're being, you know what I mean? There's a chance.
If he was truthful with the therapist. Yeah,
right. Well, right. Yeah. But, I mean, that's one person. I mean, you'd hope if he was going to open up, he would. And so there's a chance that he wouldn't tell anybody else that Incognito's bullying him because he's feeling bullied and the whole, whatever, the victim. And then the therapist maybe convinced him, you need to bring this to a head somehow. I mean, we don't know. And I'm defending both sides here because I think both sides are both victimed and wrong on some level.
Yeah,
I think Richie Incognito definitely went above and beyond and overboard. But at the same time, I think when you have someone who you consider your best friend, you tend to say things and do things with them that you wouldn't do with other people only because you feel that they understand that you're doing it out of jest or to help them out. And in a sick and twisted way, I think that might be what Incognito was doing, and he just didn't understand that Jonathan Martin was that emotionally unstable.
Yeah. I mean, if they were friends, then this is the ultimate backstab.
Right.
You know, if they were friends.
I think there might be some truth to that, too.
But there might also be some truth that he's been harboring the resentment, Martin, for so long. It's not a backstab.
See, that's what I think.
But none of us know.
I know. I'm only guessing.
Incognito, Martin was a friend, but to Martin, Richie Incognito was just the guy he was afraid of, so he acted friendly with because he didn't know how else to deal with it.
Sure.
You know,
possible.
I remember on a lot of sports teams, there were guys that I acted friendly to that I could not stand. But you're on a team, and, you know, for the greater good, you get along, but there were guys I just couldn't stand.
Yeah, but did you?
Real jerks.
Do you think other people would consider them your best friend?
Every school I ever went to?
I didn't make any indication that they weren't my friend, not best friend, you know, but yeah.
You said you befriended the biggest guy?
Always made the friends with the biggest guy on campus and the biggest guy on the team.
Yeah.
And I was a big guy.
It's smart strategy.
What a poonani you are.
Well, hey.
I guess I was lucky in school. I never had any of that.
It is good to have a big friend in the room. I've learned that lesson. He's actually my friend. I didn't pick him like just to be my bodyguard.
Well, yeah, no, Andy's just been riding his coattails ever since.
Yeah, no doubt, but, you know, he wasn't all that big when we were friends.
Well, he's huge now.
I used to call him Ray Lankford, because he was so lanky.
I was raised by my grandpa, and I was taught, you know, if someone bullies you, if they swing on you, you swing back. You defend yourself, and then you go tell whoever's in charge.
Yep.
Okay. On my reputation alone of defending myself throughout junior high and high school, my younger brother never had to fight. Because one time he was being bullied by a kid, and he told the kid, you know what, the first one's free. After that, I'm going to whoop you. And there was a teacher who I had my freshman year in that same school. He looked at the kid and said, he's actually telling the truth. He's all, I've had two of his brothers come through here, and you can swing, but he ain't going to get in trouble if he whoops you.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's why I had such
a. All right, thanks, Mike, for
your brother beat everybody up.
Well, my brother was pretty popular before me, and maybe that's why. Maybe, you know.
Well, that plays a role, I'm sure.
Maybe he paved the way, and no one ever really bothered me.
Yeah. James, the most interesting Patriots fan, he
loves this topic.
This is a big topic for him.
I'll be quick, but I love this. And the first thing is, it's really interesting because it's such a personal issue. Me and Eric agree on practically every aspect together, and we were both bullied. Fred is sort of with us. I'm interested in if Fred was ever bullied. And I don't know if Paul and Andy were ever bullied, because they're sort of taking it from another point. I don't think anyone's right or wrong, but this is why it's such a great subject.
I'll tell you why I'm in the middle, because I've been bullied, and yep. I bullied.
So you are Richie Incognito.
Which came first?
Being bullied. I one of the two regrets I had in my life, among many, but when it comes to the schoolyard, was being bullied twice, and you know I had a mouth, so I didn't bully and shy away. I mouthed off to the bully,
right.
And then both times got punched right in the jaw by the bully and just stood there and didn't fight back. Now I didn't cry, I didn't run away. I just stood there staring at him after being punched in the jaw. And you know what? I probably could have beat up both of those people. Now that I think of it. But well, I didn't do anything. I just stood there. And one of them actually came to me afterwards and apologized. You felt bad about
it. I thought you were out of your mind, you know, though, if you just
like,
stood there.
Like recently? Like soon afterwards?
No, no, no,
or
like
years afterwards?
Like this was in the schoolyard. Then when we got back to class.
Oh, really?
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Robinson.
He came back to class and apologized. He said, I'm sorry I did that.
Really?
Yeah.
How old was that? Like
fourth grade.
But was it a fight or were you being
bullied? No, what happens was, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer, which you couldn't call
today.
We
played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
it. Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then.
It's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw, you know. And I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
him. So he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you, just because he said it twice doesn't mean
he
was okay.
And now. I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now in like, I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I should have just.
Why? Do you remember the motivation for not doing it?
Because this day I regret doing it. I regret not doing
it. No, why didn't you at the time?
A little fear. A little fear, sure.
Had you been in a fight up? What age?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like fourth grade.
So you had thrown punches and taken punches previous.
Yeah. Yeah.
He used to have to sleep with one eye open.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in many
Saint,
fights.
I mean,
at St. Thomas the Apostle.
I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something. And he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over. You know?
Fred.
You socked him?
Yeah. Fred.
Yes.
By using the
you
word
don't know
sock.
From bullying, my friend.
No. You're right.
I was going to say, that doesn't really
sound like bullying.
Yeah. It doesn't have an extent.
Well, it sounds like you got in a fight.
Doesn't bullying have like an extended period of.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. I got it.
But you know me. I tease incessantly.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I wish
not
I
like
was
Andy Incognito.
Well, then I might have.
He takes it to another level.
I don't like being compared to Richie Incognito, even though he's coming out a little better by the day. I still am not comfortable with that.
I said to Andy, I'm walking by. Andy goes, where are you going? I go, I'm getting a flu shot. He goes, you'll be sick tomorrow. That's his nature.
Abuse.
It's his nature.
I harass more than I bully, I think.
No, and I think it's different. Like, when I was at school, like, bullying for me, it was, we used to do these things called death runs. And we used to, so my dormitories were like, 40 people in a dormitory. And they basically used to line up with, like, clay pipes and hockey sticks and rugby boots. You didn't have to run down the middle and stuff like that.
Like a gauntlet, yeah.
I remember, it's funny you say that, because there was one guy, I remember his name, Ollie Anlaw, who stood up and tried to sort of stand up to the bullies. And they locked him in, like, a footlocker and threw him out the third-floor window. So we sort of stopped trying to stand up to people.
Whoa. They threw a guy in a footlocker out three stories?
Oh, yeah, but there was, like, a hedge below. But, you know, my school was like...
Oh, he was fine. There was a hedge below.
Yeah, my school was like... I always say it was a lot like Harry Potter, but instead of magic, we had anal rape.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you actually have anal rapes?
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Well, the Quidditch games must have gotten really tough over.
Because the whole joking about teabagging if you had anal rapes wouldn't be so funny.
Wouldn't be funny.
No, the other thing I was going to say is the language thing. And that's something I actually sort of maybe side with Incognito. When my wife hears me on the phone to friends of mine in the military, literally it's just a stream of abuse. Name-calling and things like that. And that's something else that I think, you know, I certainly have to rein it in. When I'm out in public with my wife, or if we go to the vet and they sort of say, how's it going? And I'm effing and blinding and swearing and things like that. And certainly I understand that aspect of it. But it's interesting how it's a different connotation using the N-word with the guy in Philadelphia. It seems to be a different reaction from when Incognito used it.
Yeah, you're talking about Riley Cooper.
Well,
exactly. The incident, right, yeah.
Incognito is benefiting from the video of him with Marquise Pouncey and the fact that it was accepted, apparently, by Marquise Pouncey.
Right.
So
it's a very dangerous thing. Right, I'll let you go on that.
All right.
Oh, it is a very dangerous thing. But I mean,
like
on
said,
a personal level, he felt apparently that he was brought into that culture where that word was acceptable.
He didn't.
Yeah. I don't know how that happens. By the way,
I don't know how it is either. Like, how do you test that?
Right. You do it the first time and you don't get slugged. So now I can say it. Or does Marquise Pouncey like put his arm around him? Say, you know what? You're one of us. You can say that word. Like, how does that happen? How does the first time happen?
But clearly, he was of the belief that this wasn't a word being used in hateful ways.
Right.
And to me, it's a word that
you just don't use.
You just can't use.
No, you know what?
It's
on the list.
It's going to be portrayed that.
Funny. It's another funny prep school story, though. But
don't even tell me you use that word.
No, no.
Oh, okay.
But you were asking how that
it used to be black.
No.
Well, I'm just assuming.
No. My best friend on the football team in prep school was an African American kid from New York, and you know, a lot of his female friends in the school were also African Americans from the same area. They all kind of grew up together. They went to the same prep school with us. And when I started getting friendly with him through football, a lot of times the girls would hang out with us, and it started with us. One of them said to me one day, yeah, you know, you're all right. You're my, and she said it to me, and I was like, kind of like,
what is
I was like taken aback.
I don't feel comfortable with this.
Well, she said, "You're my Caucasian."
Like, isn't that on?
You're my honky.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, right? Crazy Eyes,
right. Yeah, Crazy Eyes Killer. But she said it to me, and I was like, and she's like, no, she's like, yeah, you can say it to me if you. I was like, no, there's no way in hell I will ever say that.
Nothing
for any
good
reason.
Comes from that.
But no. She gave me the go ahead if I wanted to say it to her.
Yeah, but like, yeah.
And I was like,
good call by you not saying it.
No, because
what
not.
If like
I can
her
see
dad's
Eric,
there and
Eric
you say it
in prep school with his blazer and his ascot and his monocle? There is no way in hell I am going to say that.
No, but that's how it came about.
That's weird.
I mean, that's one instance where it could come about.
So maybe like, Pouncey said that to him.
It could have been. Yeah,
we blank is.
But the thing I don't understand, like
I still,
I have a lot of Italian friends. None of us call each other any of the, and pick, you know, take your pick from
right.
all of the
oh,
different derogatory names there are for Italians.
I use every one
None
of them.
None of us call each other that.
What are they?
Well, we're not going to say them on the air, but there are so many of them, and none of us call each other
you're
that. Not even like in a friendly, like ribbing kind of way. I don't understand why that's,
but
why
no,
doing
some,
that.
Oh, I do it all
some
the time.
Do, but
yeah, I do it all the time.
I don't understand why that's so popular with people.
No, but
sometimes.
I have a lot of
because
Italian
is it because it's taboo
Nick
to use the word and you're using it, but it's okay among your
right. It's taking it back
ownership of the word.
That's what
I just
it
don't,
is.
I don't know. My instinct is never to use those kind of words.
And Fred, I agree.
Is there a difference between
I have plenty of nicknames that
I would
call my friends, but I don't.
I would be either dead or
you know derogatory
if I took offense to every time someone called me one of those names. There's no way I'd still be alive.
I would never call you that.
No, you wouldn't, but I mean, in my life?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
No, all I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
And I'd probably be in jail.
Fred, a question for you.
Yes.
Since you're somewhat our expert in this area, because I love these conversations when four white guys talk about race.
Right, right. We're the experts.
But some people have brought up
expert on that.
There's a difference if it ends in A and ER. Is that?
As far as I'm concerned, there's no difference.
But yeah. As far as some are concerned, you're aware of this?
Well, it's different in New England because nobody pronounces the ER.
It ends in an A-H.
I
tell you what, for 4 years, I've stood out there on the sideline for every single home game, and that word between whites, blacks, and blacks, and blacks, and whites, and blacks is thrown around like candy.
Really?
See, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So now it's not just that locker room where it's okay. It's this locker room,
arguably
too.
The first contribution to this show you've ever made.
Easily the biggest.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's like that in every locker room.
I'm not just saying it's our guys. It's between the teams.
A lot of it is not said in.
No, it's just thrown around.
On
like
the field.
Yes. Yeah. Like it's nothing.
How do you tell if it's good or bad? Like,
no, that's the thing.
When it's the good one and when it's
I think it's the context of the conversation you have.
Eric, what if she had said that and like, man, I'm going to get my boys out and you're dead.
But the point being that no one is then issuing some sort of declaration. Like, you know, someone spits in someone's face on the field, you're going to find out about it on Monday.
Right.
But no one's filing any kind of complaint with the league. You know, someone called me the N-word.
And funny,
field.
I've never heard it in all these wired up segments.
No, it's amazing.
Jim in Pittsburgh says,
of which, Bill Belichick, although Belichick dropped a few.
Belichick was on sound effects.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
Jim in Pittsburgh
really
says, just wondering who is going to replace Fred? Everyone knows Eric is the little weirdo that Andy teases relentlessly, for example. Eric will be bi later. He's still a virgin. He's the straight man of PFW, even though two out of three may be true. Fred gives his approval by snickering. Is Fred going to get fired for Eric being bullied?
Yeah.
I think this is blown way out of proportion, and now people are going to lose their jobs over this. Why don't reporters get fired for making a big deal of something before they actually know what they are talking about? I guess ESPN would have to clean house. Check. Anyway, love the show. The first 5 minutes yesterday were classic. It's strange being here in Pittsburgh and people not wanting to talk about football. There's nothing better than watching Steeler fans after Brady torches them. They really hate him here. It makes my day.
Just a clarification. I don't think reporters make a big deal out of things. Talking heads and analysts and talk radio might. But if you're a reporter and you find out that this voicemail was sent and it's related to the story, it's your job to report it. I mean, I think the facts just come out. Yeah. Where it becomes an issue is in what we're doing now.
it's an ugly situation, but I think there's some truth to the fact that
it's really good what Kevin just brought to the
table. It's going
to
get blown out of proportion, I think, by the league. And I also found out the offensive line coach Jim Turner, another guy, Northeastern ties. I mean, they're all going to lose their jobs.
Worcester Academy, they can go back to, that's still open.
Although they might have an out, the Dolphins might have an out, and you know. As an organization, if the team keeps losing, they can say, well, you know, we're making a change because it's best for what's going on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that he had any chance.
If they fire him now, obviously it would be.
Yeah, I don't think he had any chance of losing his job until this happened. But I don't think that Philbin is definitely out. I think he probably is going to be. But I think they're going to have to find some fall guy, and it'll probably be the offensive line coach who is going to be.
Yeah, see, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to come up with these new rules and all that stuff. I don't think they're going to fire anybody because I think Philbin would. If I was Philbin, I'd turn around and sue them.
And I'm not saying that guys don't deserve to be fired. I don't know what these people
but
knew
just said
and
you
when.
Didn't like that. I know you just said you don't sue. The society being so litigious.
Well, I mean, if I'm being sued, I have to or lose my job on right. You know, I have to have some.
But what is his
recourse?
Leg to stand on?
What? What do they call it?
Unlawful termination.
Not lawful, but unjustified.
How about you?
Like that.
You created and oversaw an environment that was.
Well,
not...
I can prove that. Then I'll bring down the whole league because I've been around.
You just went from a non-litigious person to
I'll bring down the whole damn league.
You guys are always saying you have to defend yourself,
yes,
right?
Yes,
so
yes.
I'm defending myself by any means possible, and I've been on enough teams to know that this is the way it is, and I'll blow the lid off of it.
Well,
just like some people might have.
I think Greg Williams tried to do that, too, and it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have proof.
Well, you don't have proof.
Well,
do you have audio? Actually, NFL films.
Yeah, I mean, they might. If you get that subpoenaed.
Yeah.
And have to look at all of that stuff.
Right.
There's raw footage somewhere with all these N-bombs being thrown around by everybody.
Those guys don't delete that stuff. They love watching it
the commissioner
in the back rooms. You know, so it's
easy.
Let's go. Let's go to one more call. Let's go to one more call, and we'll take a break. Justin's in New York. Hey, Justin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
I got some insight on, you know, some white guys do get the pass to say the N-word. You just get comfortable around them enough, and, you know, they can start using it. I agree with Eric. It is the only derogatory word that our race actually feels comfortable talking to each other about, you know, calling each other that word. And it is weird, you know, but, I mean, it's kind of my favorite word. You know, I use it, you know, we use it in rap songs, sentences. So, I mean, it is a touchy word, but some white guys do get the pass to say, say it, and, you know, you feel comfortable around it.
Well, I know I don't, and I won't say it.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. The question I asked Fred earlier, if the word ends in like an A or an ER, is there a differentiation?
Yeah, the ER is kind of where you kind of, you know, you're on the edge. But when it's an A, you know, it's cool, you know?
Okay, so, good to know. Do I have your permission to start throwing it around?
Now, why do you even want to?
Don't.
I'm just kidding. Did you hear Michael Hawley?
You guys would definitely get the pass to say it online.
I won't, but thank you. Michael Hawley actually told an interesting story yesterday that Anthony Pleasant put the kibosh on that word when
he was here
in 01-02. That he was not comfortable with it in the locker room.
Good for him.
Brought all the players together and said, we're not saying that word anymore as long as I'm here. And actually told the coaches, we will no longer be playing any music because some of the music they were playing were rap songs that had the lyric in it.
Wow.
He said, we are not playing that music
anymore.
I
can see some of the young guys just rolling their eyes at that. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's so for at least a decade, the topic of that word, now maybe it's not a question anymore. Maybe it's reached the point where it's just allowed and it's. Right. You know, there's no Anthony Pleasant, who was a, you know, sort of a different generation player to say, no, we're not doing that anymore.
I wonder, though, if a player like a modern-day player who felt that way gathered his teammates in the locker room today and said, you know what, I'm not comfortable hearing this. I don't want this going on in my locker, how he would be treated.
Well, it's not like Anthony Pleasant was in the, you know, old-time football. It was like, what, 10 years ago?
No, but he had been around for more than a decade.
Right.
A new player.
A new player, yeah. Like today. Came in and said, I'm not comfortable hearing that word tossed around so
blank
liberally.
You. Blanca.
No, but what if he what if he goes to the coaches and says, I talked to my teammates and I didn't get anywhere. I want an end to this. Mm. What would happen to him?
That's a good question. What would you do as a coach?
I would gather the team around and we would have a discussion about it.
Go to my leadership council and ask Richie Incognito what he thinks.
Yeah, that's a tough one. All right.
I was actually thinking, just real quick, I just did my Chris Jones getting to know, and he is biracial. He is black dad, white mother, and I just thought of him in this whole situation and seeing from afar and wondered some of that stuff, you know, his views on this. And I don't, you know, if he's smart, he won't share them because he doesn't need to inject himself in the story. But, you know, you have all these different perspectives, and I think he would offer an interesting one.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll be right back. More, a lot of emails coming in. We'll get to them right after this.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. You might even say we're America's favorite local brewer. Back in 1876, we had one St. Louis brewery. And people seem to like our hometown brew, so we've stayed true to that original recipe. We still use hops we hand-select ourselves. We still use our exclusive Beechwood aging process. We've just got more local brewers now, so we can guarantee fresh Budweisers for everyone. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the Bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed, where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. Just enter the born on date on the bottle. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. From farm to finish to your phone, get to know your Bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. When most restaurants talk about deals, they talk about price. Actually, they usually yell about it or turn it into some kind of song. But a deal is only as good as what you're getting. Like the Papagino's $8 deal. The price is great, but the pizza is even better. See, when you buy any large pizza, you can get up to 3 large cheese pizzas for $8 each. 3 large Papagino's pizzas? That's some good stuff. And see, we didn't even have to yell. Papagino's.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance. She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the Disco Kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster of love.
All right. Back here at PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398, 1-855-PATS-500, or web radio at patriots.com if you want to email in.
Listen, if Jonathan Martin didn't like disco, then I'm all for Incognito.
Okay.
Let me just state that for the record.
Now you're taking it to the theater of the Absurd.
No one knows what he likes because he didn't talk to
him. Micah writes in, this is an old topic, but something that has been bothering him. A little late to the discussion, but the topic still nags at me because I fall into the accused category of fans who left early during the Saints game. My point here is that while blowing out the Steelers, a lot of people were already on the road before the game ended, yet had no fingers pointed at them or accusations of being shameful hurled at them. That's it, really. And also, I wanted to let you know that as the team settles in during the season, so do you guys, and the show steadily improves throughout. Thanks for delivering week after week.
There's a reason they call it midseason form.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Should you be allowed to leave in a blowout?
You're allowed to leave whenever you want.
You know,
without getting... I look down upon all of you that leave. It's sports.
Anytime. Exactly.
You can miss an 81-yard touchdown.
You can miss anything.
The craziest play you've ever seen.
That's right.
And now never seen.
But I think it's worse when you leave and you're losing, because that's when your team needs you. You know, if you leave and your team's got a 50-point lead, well, okay. You know,
I just think
job is done.
I just think today, with how much money it costs to go to any sporting event, any pro sporting event, even some college events, you owe it to yourself to get your money's worth. Stay for the whole thing. What's the big deal?
And you plan to spend the day here.
Isn't that you have. Isn't what you, that is in the eye of the in the whole
world? Well, obviously,
the
but
right, the pink
the
hat who doesn't really care.
Right. Yeah, but I mean,
so if I feel like I got my money worth in three quarters, what do you care?
I just think you're cheating yourself. That's all.
You're cheating the whole experience.
Yeah, I would tend to stay to the whole game, but to me, there's a huge difference between leaving in a one-score game that you're losing and leaving, you know, in a 24-point game that you're winning.
And besides, the argument that
I would never even think about making fun of someone for leaving the Steelers game a week, a minute or two early.
I would.
The game was over, you know?
It wasn't.
Well, I, like I said, I tend to stay for entire games. I think Andy's point is the right one. When you buy a ticket to a game, I don't think you're assuming it's going to be a 25-point blowout so I can get out of there early. And you're assuming you're going to stay the whole day.
Especially, I know this is a football question, but especially in football, the game is going to end 3 hours and a few minutes after it started. It's not baseball where, holy crap, we're only in the fourth inning and I could be here six hours.
Indefinitely. Yeah.
I have left baseball.
That's a little different.
I have left baseball games early.
Because you don't know when it's going to end. You don't know. I mean, that's different to me.
I left the Red Sox-Yankees game so early. It was like the sixth inning that I left.
How early was it?
And we were home in time to see the end. That's how long the game went. It's just ridiculous. But, like, it was one of those five-hour Red Sox-Yankees games.
Right. That doesn't happen in football. You know it's basically when it's going
to
end.
3 to 3.5 hours, usually.
But, like I said.
Although I did say to somebody in our organization, oh, I can't believe it. You leave early so you can get home 20 minutes earlier? Then the person goes, 20 minutes? You've never seen the traffic out there, apparently.
Right.
Well, that's the other argument, too, is if it's a blowout one way or the other, and you're leaving early, and so are, you know, two-thirds of the other fans,
right.
You're not saving any time beating traffic.
That's what I always tell my wife.
If you're leaving early...
come on, everybody's leaving.
Right.
We're going to get stuck in that traffic. We might as well wait.
If you're leaving early from a nail-biter that it's been a back-and-forth seesaw game, and nobody else is leaving, then you've beaten the traffic, because there's nobody on the road.
Because you're an idiot.
And
there's a reason.
And you're an idiot.
There's a reason you walk alone.
And now you're missing out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I think happened to the people that left the Saints game. And again, I don't criticize. You could do whatever you want with your ticket. Just like booing guys or cheering, whatever. That's
But I can criticize them.
No,
it's like
I mean,
they have the right to leave. I have the right to criticize.
It's things that they choose to do, but...
You're a bad fan.
To me, if you're leaving a one-score game, you know, why did you go?
Yeah.
And you obviously didn't care who won.
Right.
Where are you going?
Yep. Well, yeah. I'll catch it on the radio.
The wine and cheese is being served.
They want to hear Bob Soucy make the call.
Right. Steve in Killeen, Texas, I'm loving the show today. I can relate for a different reason. As a black man having grown up in a military family and then becoming a preacher's son later in life, you can imagine how interesting my life was when I was able to speak Japanese and later in life German while living in northern New Hampshire. But like Fred Badass Kirsch, I was never afraid of tossing someone a whooping if that was what was required.
Wait, Fred Kirsch was afraid. No, he stood there and took punches.
Fred took the whooping.
As far as the N-word goes, I believe using it is the height of ignorance, even in circles where it may be accepted.
I agree.
I don't know.
I don't like it.
Not sure I'm capable of agreeing or disagreeing with a comment
like that. Not just
that
word, just any word like that.
Any word?
Any word like that. Any word like that.
Junior,
no, if they have a belief that they are taking ownership or whatever of the word, I don't believe it's on me to decide that that's stupid either, right? I mean, I don't know where that comes from on either side.
Junior from Dorchester says, I think it's real easy to see why the N-word gets thrown around between black and white players in the NFL. Each team consists of probably around 70-80% black players. My guess is that means there is a lot of N-bombs being thrown around all the time. How do you think white players would feel if they weren't allowed to use the word? Wouldn't a natural divide occur inside the locker room? I think it's more of a team-building issue, as weird as that might seem.
Well, I have two. I actually heard somebody bring up an interesting thing about this, that the NFL locker rooms are, you know, one of the few places, especially in professional sports, that are still black and white because there are so few others, whereas baseball, hockey, basketball are global. You know, there's Dominicans, there's Europeans, there's, and that is an interesting aspect of this, that it is literally still sort of a black and white. And the other question I would have, like, it's in rap, right? The word is in rap a lot.
Oh yeah.
So did Eminem get, like, did he have his little conversation with you? Like, when did Eminem get the right to use it?
He uses it?
Oh yeah.
Does he really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, like,
in what context? Is he rapping to another?
I don't know, but he uses it.
I know he uses the F word, but I didn't know.
I'm pretty sure he uses the N-word.
Really?
And did he get, like, permission when he was growing up in 8 Mile? Or did, like, he hook up with Dre and Snoop and they're like, oh, yeah, you're cool. Like Eric's little story. You can use it. You know, when did that happen?
I don't know.
There's just so many things that...
I just don't see, like, there are so many other words and names you could use to call your friends. Why do you have to use that one?
Well...
Or anything like that.
My dad would always tell me this story. I don't know if it was an admiral or a general, that his thing was, I don't swear to my men because that gives them excuse not to listen to me. So I always think about that. I mean, it does. It brings you down a level.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
Gives people a reason to tune you out if that's all they hear from you is expletives. You know.
Better off cleaning it up than dirtying it up.
Well, yeah.
Wow. No one must listen to me. I have a terrible mouth.
You do have a potty mouth.
Not to your kids, though, right?
When I want emphasis.
Really?
You swear?
I find exactly the opposite reaction that you're describing from the military thing.
They listen to you more when you swear?
Wait, what do you use?
But they're listening to the swears and not
use the
other
F word.
No.
When I raise my voice and I get angry and I might, you know, I'll kick your A or something like that.
Oh, he's threatening.
Wow, violence.
I get a little bit more of a reaction than, guys, knock it off.
Have you ever hit your kid?
No.
So then why would you threaten that?
Because, you know, how many times did I get hit when I was growing up?
I don't know.
But the threat of it was always there,
Fred. Do you consider spanking hitting?
No. Hit to me is, you're talking about hitting in anger.
No, I mean any kind of course.
So spanking to you is considered hitting?
Well, not only touch, spank them.
Yeah, don't say touch.
Well, no, you have?
See, I don't consider that hitting.
What,
spanking?
I don't either.
I do.
I've given a little whack on the bottom.
No, I have done that, yeah.
Little Sydney just laughs.
I have done that. Yeah, a spanking on the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that.
See, I don't consider that hitting, Fred.
I
don't
swore at them either.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just wondering. You know, because my thing is, I never threaten my kid. Like, I'll, you know, because I know I would never do that. So I would threaten other things. Like, I'll take away this or I'll do that. Mm. But I wouldn't threaten that because I know I'm not going to do it.
Take away the volume.
You don't want to level an empty threat.
Right. I'm not going to hit him. I'm just
not. They don't necessarily know it's
empty.
That
doesn't mean I never wanted to.
Right.
There's a lot of times I wanted to, but I just wouldn't, you know?
My dad
punch a hole
me.
Through the door?
I have.
I was a
bathroom door before the...
A wall, a door.
Really? Well, wasn't it right before the in-laws were coming and you had to get the door fixed?
Yeah. Oh, Nikki was so mad at me.
Remember that story when he told it?
Well, he slammed the door in my face, so I punched my fist through it.
But I would never threaten him.
You know why he did it?
Why?
Because he knew you'd never touch him.
Wow. Paul, are you really saying that, you know...
I can tell you I would never have done that to my father ever, ever, ever. I would never have slammed the door in my father's face because I would have been too afraid.
Because he would hit you?
He never laid a hand on me, but I didn't want to ever
test
it. You
had that respect.
I was afraid of my dad, but he never hit me.
My dad never laid a hand on me.
You know, I don't think you need to
threaten
violence.
But I knew I couldn't do wrong.
You know? I just respected him, so I didn't want to...
Yeah,
and now you can't do anything because he's twice your size, Fred.
So when, he's also dead.
And when you're a kid and you
oh,
see
no,
your
son.
Your son.
Oh,
geez.
Oh my God.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
You also are afraid of your parents when they get mad at you. When they're mean.
You know,
when you see them looking at you in a mean way, you think, oh,
my
God,
dad never even had to say a word. He would just look at me and oh, man.
My mother and father never hit me in, like, real, like, in anger.
Right.
Ever.
Oh, my mother did.
But they looked like they wanted to.
My mother. Oh,
but
my mother.
But I was always fearful that it could happen.
Oh, my mom did. She kicked my ass.
She's dead, too.
My mother hit me.
I should say that, too. My mother used to do stuff.
Whatever was available.
She never hurt.
A spoon, a wiffle ball bat. Hot coffee.
Remember the old
yard? Oh, yeah.
Oh, hot coffee.
Hot coffee.
She threw hot coffee at
you? Oh, yeah.
No wonder why you never laid a hand on you. You got a hot coffee thrown at
you. I can see you're beating Fred with a wooden spoon.
Do you remember the old yard? Do you remember the yardsticks?
I've been like Andy. I'd like run away.
Oh, yeah. I still have one of those.
Do you remember the old
wooden yardsticks?
My mother used to break yardsticks.
Oh, we had the paddle.
Every once in a while.
My mother would take the paddle.
Oh. I remember when I got caught skipping school. It was like freshman year of high school, and I came in. My mother just opened up an all-out assault on me, and you have to sit there like,
to
make her think like it's hurt.
Look at this guy.
Is that common
mocking
with
his mother?
No, I wasn't mocking. I just wanted to stop.
My grandmother would hit me too,
but my mother wasn't capable of hurting me at that point. I was 14.
Did Nikki I could just
see you just going, ow, that really hurts.
You see my mother?
Yeah,
she's like 5 foot nothing.
I feel like I need to go home and have a conversation because I never would even think that my wife would hit my kids. But I feel like we need to go home and have a discussion.
Right, what's going on when I'm
right? Because apparently it's more common.
Oh, and that is true. Never when my father was there, because then you wouldn't act up. But see, that's the thing with especially boys, they act up with their mother when the father's not
around.
And
they think they can get away with it. Right.
And the mothers get frustrated because he never does this when you're around.
And it's wait till your father gets home.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite in my house. They do things that to Beth that they would never do with me.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
No, you're saying that they act up in front of their mother.
No.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I confused myself.
Wait a minute, though.
First time. I do this like once a month.
Your mother beat you with a wiffle ball bat and you didn't gain some respect or fear or
no.
anything?
Not at all.
doesn't hurt.
How did the coffee incident happen?
Just I want to know about that. Coffee hurt.
Someone got $1 million once because they had hot coffee thrown on.
Coffee would have gotten my attention.
We had a, you know. I remember it, you know, again, I remember these things vividly. We had a screened in porch in the back of the house in New Jersey, and I, you know, my mouth. Yeah. Again, yeah. And she had just had enough of douche. And I was walking away when she did it, so she hit me in the back. It wasn't like in the face. Oh, my God, I'm, you know, scarred for life. But, you know, she threw the hot coffee in my back.
Wow. Did it hurt?
Not really.
So it wasn't that hot.
You know,
she was already drinking, so
yeah,
it's not like it was fresh out the pot.
Yeah, it was more like someone throwing water at some, you know. But it was warm.
I bet you if it hit you in the like face, it might have been a little different.
Maybe,
though.
You know.
I'm more interested in the wiffle ball bat.
Oh yeah, she came. I was sitting in the chair watching TV, and she came at me with the bat.
For what though?
Yeah,
what,
again,
like, how could you just be sitting there?
It has to be more than that.
Mouthing off.
I remember my grandmother threw an ashtray at my brother once.
Like,
that was classic.
There are probably kids who hit their mother. I would never do that.
Yeah.
Never. I mean, I used the F word once.
That's where, by the way, the fear of dad would come.
I used the F word once in front of her. I was in college, and I immediately did. Say, "Oh my God, I'm sorry." And this, I'm in college. Mm.
So she grabbed a hammer and beat him with it.
No, it's just, you know.
Don't you,
there were certain things he just didn't do. But being a wise ass, every day.
Oh, God.
Every day.
Fred, you'll appreciate
it. You and I had a very similar childhood.
Yeah.
This is a Patriots story, Fred. I was less than a year old when the Patriots played the Bears and got rolled in 86. And I was, my dad was holding me in his chair, and
I
kept.
High school senior.
He was having a Super Bowl party, Fred.
Bouncing him on his knee.
No, and he's having a Super Bowl party, and I kept taking the remote and pressing the buttons. Ugh. Like, oh, this, you know. And so all the guys are like flipping out. It's like, what the hell? Get the kid out of here. So my dad takes my.
To this
my
day,
hand.
He has 2 AA's stuck up his ass.
No, my dad takes my hand and like slaps my hand, and I like looked up at him and slapped him in the face.
Oh!
And he goes, since that day, I've never laid a hand on you ever again.
See, you didn't get bullied anymore.
Now he beats up his siblings.
Right.
Yeah, you have siblings. Yeah, you have a sister.
You have a sister.
Oh, that's funny. All right, what were you going to say? Was someone else going to say something? All right, I don't know.
I don't know. I just want more stories from your childhood.
Oh, God.
I find them fascinating.
My brother has been hit by my father several times. I think that's why I never really got touched by my father.
You really lucked out because of your brother, it sounds like.
Rich really took a lot of
my brother also got into far more trouble than I did. Like,
really?
Far more serious,
serious
trouble. My brother got arrested when he was 16.
Really?
Yeah. Open beer in the car.
Ooh.
Wow. Well, that's nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah,
and he made
the
face.
Let me
like
tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you right now. If Will gets arrested when he's 16, they have an open beer in the car, I am going to hit him. Okay? I'm telling you right now.
But
it won't be a spanking on the ass either.
But see, there's different things. Like, what if he was doing coke or something? Or what if he was, you know, robbing a bank? I mean, there's like next levels.
Well, he wouldn't necessarily get hit because he was drinking. He was in the car.
Driving or in the back seat?
Someone was driving.
Yeah, but it wasn't him.
I believe it was.
Oh. Okay, it took a step up there.
It was his car.
Could have killed himself, could have killed somebody else.
Yeah, that's worse. I was picturing him in the back seat.
Especially nowadays.
What an unmerciful
beat
my father
gave. First grade are taught, you know, the whole DARE program. Mm-hmm. They're taught every day about this stuff, you know.
Well, I won't go into the
But
detail.
That doesn't mean it changes anything.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, NFL players are taught
but they
day
know.
One.
Yeah. But they know.
Rookie symposium. Yeah. Right.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you, but my father was at the Garden.
If it didn't involve Reggie Lewis, then you're telling of fiction.
It was just before Reggie Lewis, actually. It was
fiction.
1982. My father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching them play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out. My brother went out and got arrested that night. So my father gets, so my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. It was, so I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father. When he comes home, before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Little angel. Right.
And I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. my father. And I go, all right, got to go. Right. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci. And just once I wanted to be big. Pow, bing, boom.
You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
It was unbelievable. Meanwhile, I'm back in my room. Yeah, got to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cause you could get, you know, shrapnel.
Oh, yeah, I want to get a collateral damage.
Right. Craig from the billing department's on the line. Hey, Craig.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good.
Just wanted to call in. Andy, Eminem is my favorite rapper of all time. Never once did he use the N-word in any of his songs.
Is that true?
I have two emails also saying the same thing.
I couldn't think of one.
Well, I couldn't either. But when you think, you usually think of radio songs that are pretty well bleeped and edited.
That's why I didn't say he hadn't, because I just figured they were edited.
He has a song called "Criminal," where he actually talks about saying it, and then he just bleeps himself out. He doesn't say it; just blank air after that. When he says that, like, you would be mad at me for saying the word, and then he just stops.
So how come he hasn't gotten permission? I mean, he rolls in those circles with 50 Cent and Exhibit and Dre and
Exhibit,
whatever his name is, right? I mean, shouldn't he have permission if it's such a permissible thing?
Maybe he does.
Because the N-word is such a derogatory term used by white people, made by white people, that white people aren't accepted in saying it. That's the way I've always looked at it. I've never said it unless... I'm a server at a restaurant, so you get the Mondays that come in that you know are not going to be tipping you very well, and that's the only time you really use that. But that's just because you're mad.
Wait a minute, I don't think you should be admitting that on the radio.
You can't say that.
I'm sorry. Everyone hates Mondays, so I'm just saying.
Wait, but our Mondays.
What, I don't know what he's talking about.
The guy
about
called
here.
Carl Crawford.
All right, thanks.
Welcome to the conversation.
Ah.
I don't know what he's talking about.
A Monday is a black person?
Yes. You can't say that.
Right?
Can we stop this, please,
I've never heard that before.
I've never heard that either.
You don't remember the Carl Crawford story when he was playing
Craig, thanks.
No.
He was on a rehab assignment when he was on the Red Sox.
I remember that story.
And
he was the cop.
And the guy called him a Monday. You got fired for it.
Oh, I remember that. You're a Monday. Yeah.
Never heard that before.
Huh.
That's a bad word.
Robin in Alaska.
The word isn't bad. Like,
no,
I say it every week.
In that context, it's a bad
word.
No, I
know. That's weird. I never heard that.
Robin in Alaska says, my oldest brother is 6'5". He was that height at 16. One day he did something dumb and our mom started yelling at him. My brother told my mom to stop for a minute. Just wait, he says. Then he went to get her a stepping stool so she would be at his height. Of course, my mom beat him with it, but he really deserved it.
That's a good story. Wow.
One time, my
beaten with a stepping stool.
My brother
that he got.
Yes, my brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm going to let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. He went. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the shower.
It's like Psycho.
Classic. So maybe that's why I never really got hit.
Right.
One time I remember I was constantly late getting home. Like, for whatever reason, all my friends, everybody would go home for lunch. I would just stay and keep playing. And it would cycle through. Everybody had gone home and now they're back. But I would never leave because, you know me, I'm too competitive to leave. And we would just play all the time and I was always getting home late. It'd be like, you got to be home by 6. I'd be home at 7. You got to be home by 7. It'd be 8. No matter what.
Right.
I used to set my watch back and pretend, look, no, look at my watch. I mean, I tried everything.
An hour?
Finally, my father just had enough. He just had enough one day. And I came home, and I was like an hour late. And it was like right after I had just gotten in trouble, we had this long talk about it. And I walk in, and he kind of smiles at me. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's going to be another one of those. This kid's always late. He just attacked me. And those hurt. Yeah. It wasn't like my mother hitting me.
Right.
My mother hit me, and you're like,
making fun of his mother. This is just
Ginger's coming for him.
She used to break yardsticks over my
head. We were the same. I was always late.
Always late. Because I always thought I was going to miss something.
I wanted to stay out. I would stay out until midnight playing whatever it was. And my mother would, because it was a real dense neighborhood in New Jersey, so there were a lot of houses, a lot of kids. There was always something going on. And she would stand out in front yelling my name. And it wasn't Fred. It was Frederick, you know, which I hated.
That's why he hates it.
It's the same thing. My mother would just get in the back porch and call my name. I always heard her.
And finally she said, you know, I am so tired of you know, yelling your name. So my father got her this bell. And she would ring the bell, and that was even more humiliating.
You made all the stops, but right. Kept ringing the bell.
Right, so she would stand there ringing this stupid bell, and everyone knew that it was my mother ringing the bell.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, my God.
Did it work? Did she get home earlier?
No. I would still ignore it.
I was going to say, the problem wasn't him not hearing it.
Right. It was
ignoring it.
Yeah. Well, but I didn't know if
but
he was
I
so humiliated
say, oh,
by
I didn't
it.
Hear you.
Right.
Yeah.
He finally.
Well, then, like, you know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when right. she was still alive, and She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, you know, had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Camilla. You know Aunt Camilla,
right,
from,
sure,
Famous Stories.
Right, the meatballs.
They're sisters. So she calls up. She goes, oh, Allie's beating the living beep out of him. But I'll tell you, he deserved it, though. Classic stuff.
Oh, I mean, I had a blanket, and I stuck my thumb. I stopped last week, but, you know.
Stop calling him Linus.
I knew that was now.
I remember my grandmother took it from me once, and she threw it in the garbage. Oh, my God, I was so mad. So I took it out, and I gave her, like, a rat tail.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
how old,
did I get
how
in
old
trouble
were you?
For that?
22?
No, yeah. No, I was probably, like, you know, second grade or something like that. You know, I had that blanket for a long time.
Yeah. No, that doesn't make it okay. Don't try to rationalize
this
now.
No, I know. I know, but
you rat-tailed your grandmother. Yeah. I would have never done that to my grandmother. Yeah. Ever.
No.
Ever.
No.
Yeah. Well, she threw my blanket in the
no,
garbage.
There's no rationalizing it. I would have never
even,
done that.
You don't understand. Like, that was my blanket.
You have a problem with authority.
Even my grandmother that lived with us, even, you know, she was, you know, was like your mother. So you were much more comfortable,
right,
than
still.
District. But I still would do things to my mother that I never even would think about
oh,
going
yeah.
to my grandmother.
Yeah.
Even my grandmother that lived with us. It was a way, whole different level.
Yeah.
Whole
but you
different
threw my
level.
Blanket away. I
but you threw
time.
My blanket away. I'm in
how old
second
were you?
Grade.
Second
my
grade.
God.
You don't need a blanket, you little wuss.
Well, that's what she said.
That's why the kids were calling you big weirdo.
That's why 2 years later you were taking punches in the schoolyard.
Oh, well.
Because you had a blanket
sucking your thumb while he hit you.
In second grade. Michael Delacruz.
Right, it was
Dela
the fourth
Cruz,
grade that Ron Robinson dropped him.
Michael Delacruz across the street invited me for a sleepover, and I was all worked up because he's going to see the blanket. Turns out he had one, too.
What a poignant story.
Yeah. It's a bunch of pussies.
4 years later,
A's and all that.
4 years later, they're playing
bumping butts with each other.
Shower.
It's all coming together.
Hey, it is what it is.
I'm wondering which aspect of this, which name makes it into Dan's Christmas Eve poem. Some aspect
oh,
of
yeah.
this.
Oh,
will be
sure.
Wrong. Yeah. And we'll all go, oh, I remember he said that. He rat-tailed his grandmother.
You notice how Annie doesn't have a lot of stories, but you know his are good, but he just doesn't want to talk about
no,
it.
No, I actually
you
don't.
Have a very troubled
No, you
childhood.
Know what the difference is, Fred? I'll tell you the difference. Right, he's 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And it turned. You couldn't do that stuff anymore.
Right.
If you did some of the things that my parents did now, they would lose their kids.
Yeah.
Like, I remember fearing
and
my
that's
dad,
why.
But I don't think it was because he ever did anything. I just feared it.
And right. that's why, as Fred, as Eric said, what did you call society?
Litigious?
No, but it was like something you're like, well, what a society we live in now.
Oh,
like,
terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's why. There's no fear of retribution. There's no fear of respect for authority. No, because you can't do anything about it. You can't do it. You can't have any authority.
Well, you can.
I can't.
Threaten to kick your kid's ass, you said.
Like Eric Cartman.
Yeah.
You will respect my authority.
But God help me if something happens and someone finds out. I'll be in trouble. Whereas, you know, my grandmother was calling my aunt to let her know.
Well, saying, yeah, well, he deserved it. Yeah,
my wife told me a story when she was little. She wouldn't pick up her dolls, and so her mother threatened to call the doll police. And actually got on the phone once and
pretended to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, oh, my God, don't call her, please.
Did that work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Robert's in South Carolina. Hey, Robert.
How you doing?
Okay, you got a bad phone. Why don't you call back?
Oh, I just assumed it was my headphones. I lost them.
No, you got your big cans on
now.
No,
but the connection just doesn't work.
Nick Tin Man cans.
Nick in Seattle says, let's move on from bullying
breasts.
For a few minutes.
His
he's said, wearing a gray shirt today, so.
You know, I promised people, said, this is the place
is
you can talk Patriots football.
Because he said you had your silver
everybody
cans
else
out.
Is talking.
Okay, read an email. That's football.
Nick in Seattle, things I'm looking forward to. Luke Kuechly versus in pass coverage versus Gronk.
Kuechly.
Dobson improving. Ridley
I wouldn't expect
getting...
Kuechly on Gronk too much, by the way.
I wouldn't have expected Shamarco Thomas on Gronk too much either. Who knows?
He's also looking forward to Dobson improving, Ridley getting 15-plus carries a game, Shane Vereen catching 35 balls, and Ronald Robinson waiting by Fred's car in the parking lot. Good stuff.
That one's got legs.
Ronnie Robinson. Toby writes in, I have an NFL-related question. Last Sunday night, the Colts were down 24-6 at the end of the third quarter when they scored a touchdown, making the score 24-12. They proceeded to go for two, trying to make it 24-14. They didn't succeed and were now down by 12, needing two touchdowns to take the lead.
Yeah, bad
Al Michaels was very adamant. with his view that you always take the point, thus making an 11-point game. Then all you would need to do is tie as a field goal, touchdown, two-point conversion. Right. This is not the first time I heard this argument, and I don't understand it. You're not going to avoid the two-point conversion that late in the game, so wouldn't it be smarter to get it out of the way as soon as possible? This would help the coaches make the correct situational decisions, for example, whether or not to kick a field goal on fourth down. What is the advantage of not trying the two-pointer until the last possible moment?
Because you extend the game.
Exactly. Right. And what do you mean by extending the game?
You put that off as long as you can, because as long as you're within a score, that's keeping it as competitive as you. 11 points is exactly what they said. There's a big difference between 11 and 12, and I would have kicked it to make it 11. But if you have to get the two-point conversion, if you're down 11 and you kick a field goal, I mean, you get a touchdown, you want to make it three. And you miss the two-point conversion, it's different. So that's fine. But let's just say that you're down 10. You wouldn't kick the you would try to make it 8 if you could, but 9
right.
leaves you two scores behind. And so you want to put that off as long as you can.
You want to put
you don't want to go for the two there unless you have to.
You want to extend the game, as you said, and because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, maybe you have a, you know, you score an easy touchdown off an interception all of a sudden, and now you just need that field goal. Whereas if you miss the extra point, you're going to need another touchdown.
Right. Like if you're
the
down
2-point conversion.
Let's say you're right. down 15, right, with 4 minutes left, and you score a touchdown. You're going to kick to make it 8 because
right.
now you're saying I'm one touchdown down.
Yeah, and
with
then,
4 minutes left.
Right.
Whereas if I go for 2 and I miss it, now I'm two scores down
right.
with 4 minutes left. That changes the whole complexion.
Right.
That's why the adage is you put it off as long as you can mm-hmm. because it extends the
yeah.
game. Now, obviously the email is right. At some point you have to make the two-point conversion to
right.
tie the game. Now, the Colts ended up lucking out because of what Fred said. You never know what's going to happen with all the scores. The Colts took the lead without – they didn't
right.
go – they went for two and didn't get it. So they were down 12, but they scored two more touchdowns, and they didn't need two-point conversions to take
right.
the lead. They ultimately got one that made it three. But I would argue if they had, you know, they could have kicked it.
Right.
And, you know, it would have been still better for them.
Sure. Yeah.
They wouldn't have needed the two at the end.
You don't do it until you have to. You try to extend the game. You
Unless
don't
you always do.
Yeah.
Those teams that always go for two, and then you're trying to just get the
I
points.
Think there's a lot of misuse of going for two when you're down a lot.
Right.
You know, I think that people just automatically think, oh, I'm down. You know, I'm down 24-6. I'm going to go for two because I'm down a lot of points. Well, it's not always the right thing to do.
Right.
I think that particular example, 12 and 11, is a big difference to me.
Yeah.
It's a big difference.
If you know you're only going to have one possession left and you want to get within a touchdown, then and you have to have the 2 point to do that, then of course you go for two.
Right, but then you have to. Now
right,
you,
then
you
have,
don't have
you
know, to. You,
oh,
you
if you,
put
if
it
you
off.
Kick it and you would make it 9 as opposed
yeah.
to 8.
Right.
Yeah, you go. I mean,
but like you say, there could be a freak something on a
right.
kickoff after your score where you get a safety. Where
right.
you got your two.
Right.
You know, you never know what's going to happen. A guy runs out, you know, Dan Orlovsky runs out the back of the end zone. Who
but
knows?
I do think that conversion chart is often butchered by NFL coaches. Mm-hmm. I think everybody gets them right when it's, you know, oh, we're down 4, we're down 5, you know, we're going to go for 2 to try to make it 3. Those are easy. The
right.
ones that are within 3 or, you know, to make it 8 or whatever, those are all easy. But it's when you're down multiple scores that I think people don't look at it and say, what would happen if we score twice? We have, you know, Bill does it all the time. We figured out that we had 3 more possessions left in that game potentially. And if we scored on all of them, we could do, you know, whatever.
Right.
I think Bill's really good at that. Ernie Adams by Adams by extension, because Ernie's the one. He's a situational.
He's a
guy
very
for
very good drafter, and he's a very very good 2-point
I'm sorry,
converter.
Fred. I'm gonna side on the.
I know.
I'm gonna fall down on the side of the guy who has had arguably the greatest dynastic run in NFL history.
Dynastic.
Shoot me.
Robert is in South Carolina. Fraud. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? How y'all doing?
That's much clearer.
Good. That's
good.
Better.
That's much
yep.
better. Is this Robert
all right,
Robertson?
All right. Now, I just want to fill in
Robert
a little
Robinson.
Bit on the difference in the N-word with the A and the E-R.
Okay.
I grew up in the South, and my high school and everything, we were born half black. The whole area where I live, you know, white African-Americans really add something to the culture here, I got to tell you, because I've lived in other parts of the U.S., and you know, it goes somewhere like... I don't know, you go somewhere out west, like Northern California or somewhere like that, or
somewhere there's a lot of white people. You just, there's a lot of culture there. You're like, man, you know, it's like, you know, you honkies parked the daggum wagon train, everybody had sex, and that's what you got. You know, you kind of miss a lot of stuff in other parts of the U.S. that I think that.
I'm missing a lot of stuff right now.
Culture does that, so I don't know. But there's a big difference because, you know, growing up, everybody said the word. And I'm talking about, I'm in my late 30s, so, you know, this is a long time ago. Everybody said the word. Growing up, white, black, it didn't matter. Everybody said it to each other, but you said the A thing. You didn't say the ER. And, but there were times when you said it and you didn't say it. Like, you know, you white guys would say it to white guys all the time. And that's even still today in the South and a lot of parts of the country. That's a big culture because a lot of kids grew up listening to rap, and they have that mentality of trying to be a tough kid or something like that, or just trying to fit in. A lot of kids say it. Even girls say it. White girls will say it to white boys and stuff like that. And it's really embedded in the culture here of the youth in America, really. And the distinction, though, is with the ER. That's the thing, is that, you know, when you cross that line, then it becomes something totally different. It's never been acceptable to anybody to ever cross the ER line.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen black guys say it to other black guys, and it caused a fight. And that, you know, when you see it even affect guys like that within a race, that's pretty tough.
Yeah.
And you know, just for one, a quick side note, since we're on, you know, kind of whatever you call it, Scalavino can help us with this. That's where we're talking about this, the origin of the word or whatever like that.
Etymology.
Yeah, etymology or whatever, entomology, something like that, insects, whatnot. But anyway.
No.
Dad,
yeah,
gum.
One is about insects. The other one is about the root origin of words. Etymology is about the root origin of words.
Well, if you Google Eric Scalavino, about the fifth thing that comes up is Urban Dictionary, which I think is...
Yeah. That's some jerk that used to listen to the show. You don't need to bring it up again. All right, thanks for the call, Robert.
Well, I just wanted to talk about this for
a second. We don't need to talk about it. It's all right. No, it's okay. No, you're all right. That's fine. That's enough. Go away.
I really had no idea what the first part he said was.
The only thing I understood from that whole conversation was dad gum.
But he said something about you parked the six trailer something.
I don't know.
I liked it. I liked what I was listening to. So the good news is, from his perspective, New Englanders who use that word are always safe because
they never pronounce the R. Yeah.
Just
don't use it. It's just so ridiculous.
I remember being, again, another little story, choosing up sides. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Ketchup.
Oh, yeah.
Catch a
tiger. I didn't know that until.
Oh, no. I remember.
I never ever did that.
I remember being a kid and my cousin said that, and I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't sound right. That's probably not right.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard that in elementary school, kids doing that in the playground.
Was that an alteration?
I never heard that.
Or was that the original?
I think that was the original.
And Tiger
was
the,
right.
That's interesting.
That was the edited version.
Right.
Yeah. So. Scott, New Jersey.
Never heard that.
Really?
Growing up.
Oh,
Never did that.
Oh, I didn't hear it growing up. This was as an adult I heard, and I was like, really? I've never.
Yeah, that was the way you did it.
Yeah, you know? I remember that.
Yep.
That doesn't seem okay.
No. No. And even, like I said, even as a little kid, I thought to myself, that doesn't sound good. Yeah.
But he thought it was okay to hit his grandmother.
You pick and choose. You pick your battles. Scott, New Jersey, I got to your broadcast late today, so if you have already discussed this, no need to do it again.
Not if it's Patriots.
If it's anything about football, no.
My question is, do you think the NFL will come down harder on the Martin situation than they want to because they're aware that college and high school players mimic the actions of pro athletes? They simply don't want to be accused of encouraging this behavior.
I do think they're going to come down very hard.
Well, they've been talking about this for a number of years because remember we said, you know, we wonder if the Patriots will still have the water slide that they do every year in training camp. And that was a few years ago because of another hazing incident in high school.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't believe they did it this year.
I don't recall it this year. But they still did the haircuts.
They did the haircuts, but I don't believe they did the slip and slide thing. At least not while we were.
They should have never done the slip and slide thing.
I thought
anything that could cause injury is
stupid. I thought they did do it after camp was over.
Oh, maybe.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Are we doing picks today?
Oh, for crying out loud. I forgot all about that. Why didn't you remind me?
I just thought
we got plenty of time.
We don't need as much time to do them as you say that we do.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I completely forgot.
Because you were too busy reminiscing.
All right. Thanks, for everyone, for discussing that. In,
next week, it's football. We're back to football next week.
Yeah, I mean, it was the bye week.
We
this
used
the perfect,
a bye week.
Perfect bye week opportunity.
Well, it's a big topic.
I hope there was no offense taken either, because it's a complicated topic. It's a complex issue.
Just didn't really understand
taken
it.
By whom?
All right, Paul, so what's going on with the picks?
What did we say?
Yeah, I think we're actually far less offensive talking about a sensitive topic than we are in day-to-day conversations.
Shows you that we do have the capability.
We have a serious side when we need to.
Tough week last week for everybody, but Fred still wins. 8-5 for Fred, 7-6 for Paul and Andy, 6-7 for Eric. Tough week with the spread. 6-7 for Eric and Fred, 5-8 for Paul and Andy.
That was a tough week.
So, season standings are as follows: 89-44 for Fred, 86-47 for me, 81-52 for Andy, 80-53 for Eric, which I think is opposite of what we have in the paper. I think Eric is leading in the paper.
I am.
He is.
That's right.
With the spread, Fred just blowing everybody away still. 70-58-5. Eric, 65-63-5. Andy, 63-65-5. And I am 61-67-5.
1-900. Fred pick.
1-900 slap grandma.
I can do pick for you what nose. I do for myself. all right. Tonight's game, Washington at Minnesota. 825, really 840.
Washington, Washington by
don't
2.5.
The hype, it's 840. And you can watch Patriots Football Weekly at 7:30 to get you in the mood for some football.
That's right.
Comcast, CSNNE. I will take the Washington Redskins. I think RG3 might be turning a corner here, and I'm just not going to pick Minnesota.
I mean, if we had to pick this game a week or two ago, I probably would have picked the Vikings, but nah, I can't do it. I think they're imploding. I'll have to go with the Redskins on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Redskins too, but not feeling good about it. These Thursday night games, the road team, huge disadvantage, but Minnesota's in tough shape.
Yeah, me too. Washington, and there's a lot of games I don't feel good about this week, looking at this lineup right here.
Excuses.
Sunday at 1, Seattle at Atlanta.
Seattle by 6.5.
I don't feel good about it, but I'm going to take Seattle on the road. I'm not picking Atlanta.
Boy, you remember the days when it was so tough for those West Coast teams to come east and they never won?
Oh, remember those days when Atlanta was a good football team and who knows?
I'll take the Seahawks to win.
What was the spread? Six?
Six.
And a half. Yeah, I get
I just have this fear that they're going to fall behind again and then come back and rally late, win by a field goal.
Got to hurry.
But I will give them the benefit of the doubt. They'll win and cover.
Yeah, I will take Seattle, too. At some point, they have to play well.
Yeah, Seattle, too.
But it's on the road.
Sunday at 1, Cincinnati at Baltimore. Who are the Ravens?
Not a very good football team.
Cincinnati by 1.5.
I'm going to take Cincinnati to win and cover, but I could lose this game, but Cincinnati stinks. I mean,
Baltimore stinks. Right, that's why I'm going to go with
slightly better.
Yeah, and they're starting to play a little bit better. I'll go with the road Bengals.
Got to hurry.
Yeah, I'll take the Bengals, but I don't like it.
I think you're all wrong.
I'm wrong, too.
One of these
you can change it, Paul.
No.
Divisional game. I think Flacco steps up. I think Baltimore wins this game. Detroit at Chicago, Sunday at 1.
Detroit.
Chicago all of a sudden surging.
Detroit.
Without Jay Cutler.
Detroit by 2.5.
I will take Detroit to win and cover on the road.
Nah, I've been burned too many times. I'll go with the home Bears to win outright.
Okay. Who's their quarterback now?
McClown?
Josh McCown.
McClown.
I will take Detroit unless they can knock Stafford out like they did. Who's the starting quarterback of Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers.
I thought you were trying to think of the backup quarterback. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Detroit as well.
Discount double check.
Vikings have cool fans, though. They're showing a lot of these pregame things on – all those guys with the
it's a
crazy
cool mascot to imitate.
Yeah, but they have good fans. They get into it.
You can racist. Be tough as a Viking. You can't be tough with a tricorn hat. Sorry.
I think it's racist. I'm not going to call them that. It's the Minnesota football team. They shouldn't be referred to.
I was reading an article that they were saying,
hitter of the
based on archaeological evidence, that Vikings weren't very nice people. They would actually, when you
I
would
think
die,
they knew that, right?
I didn't think they were nice.
they raped and pillaged.
When you died, they would just, they would have a burial.
I believe that's where the term came from.
They would have like burial offerings, and they would take somebody and just cut their head off and bury them with you, but without their head. You know, just like one of your servants or something.
Is that wrong?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. That, have you seen the Viking show that was on History Channel earlier this year?
No.
Because they do, there's a scene where, you know, the chieftain dies and one of his servants agrees to go and have herself killed to be with him.
Right. It's an article I read.
Was she hot?
Yeah.
Oh.
Philadelphia at Green Bay, Sunday at 1. Philadelphia at Green Bay.
Philadelphia. Where are they? Philadelphia
not on your
at
list,
Green then? Bay. Philadelphia. Here we go. Green Bay by one.
I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take Ben Foles 5 to continue to roll. And
you're going
to
take the point.
I am not going to point, and I am not going to pick Seneca Wallace.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick, Andy. I'm going to go with Nick Foles 5 too on the road to win. And obviously cover. I mean.
It's interesting with the day that Foles had last week.
Are you grunk?
Yeah, and the fact that Rodgers is out. It's such a they're not giving more of a spread to Philadelphia.
To the Eagles?
Yeah, I'll take the Packers. I think they'll blow them out.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the Eagles stink.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Eagles. Let's see. St. Louis at Indianapolis, Sunday at 1.
Rams at Colts.
Colts by 9.5.
9.5.
I'll take the Colts to win. I'll take the points. My defense, my quinning, will keep it close.
Yeah, I'm not buying the quinning thing anymore. The Rams are terrible. I'll take the Colts at home to win and cover.
I will do the same. Colts, big.
I'm going to do what Andy did. I'll split it down. I'll take Indy, but I'll take the points. Sunday at 1, Oakland at the Giants.
Ugh,
Giants by 7.5.
Do they have to play this game?
That's a bad football game. See, the Dartmouth High Indians won a national title at MetLife Stadium this past weekend in band.
Right? In what sport?
Band.
Band.
It's the only sport we're good at.
They were banned from it.
I'm going to take the Raiders. I'm not picking Eli anymore. He's off my board.
Oh, man. These are two teams I can't pick. Can I pick a tie, Paul?
No.
No.
I'm just kidding. I was kidding.
No. Got to hurry.
Because they're at home, I'll pick the Giants. Hurry. That's the only reason.
I'll take the Giants because they're a far better team than the Raiders, and I'm going to lose
two
all
bad
those teams
at home. That's your rule.
Yeah, well, the Giants are at home.
I'm going to take the Giants as well. Sunday at 1, Buffalo at Pittsburgh. Wow.
Buffalo at
Pittsburgh.
Another bad
three.
Game. Why do they have to play these games?
These are all bad games.
I'll take Pittsburgh. Win and cover.
Yeah, after quitting here in New England, I think they get the message this week. They beat up on a Bills team. That's who's going to play quarterback? Who knows? It's a merry-go-round over there.
I think Manuel's going to play quarterback, and for that reason, I'm going to take Buffalo.
Oh.
If he doesn't play, I don't think they'll win, but I think he is going to play.
They say that all indications are that he will.
Manuel is automatic.
For the reason, I don't know which one of you said it, but I think that, you know, Tomlin reads in the Riot Act, and I think at least for this game, they come out pumped up. In Pittsburgh beats Buffalo at home. Yeah. Jacksonville at Tennessee, the final 1 o'clock game.
Tennessee by 11.5.
Oh boy.
Tennessee to win. And Tennessee to cover. Jacksonville stinks. Go
Shahid Todman. Comp trying to make the case for expansion or renovations at their stadium. That's a tough case.
That's
to
a tough
make
case.
Right
that's a tough case.
It's a dump.
I'll take the Titans to win, Paul, but I don't like them that much. So I'll take the points too.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the points. I'll take Tennessee. I keep trying to have Jacksonville cover, and I don't seem to get them right, so I'm not going to take the points anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee both ways as well. All right, now we move to 4 o'clock, 4:05, Carolina at San Francisco. This could be a good game.
San Patriots Francisco by watching. 6.
San Francisco by 6.
Do a little scouting.
Yeah.
I am going to take San Francisco to win and cover. Carolina obviously has a good defense, might not be all that high scoring, but I don't think that's not enough points for me to take Carolina. Give me 7 and I'd take it.
I'm taking the Panthers in the upset.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, I just have a feeling about them.
Yeah. I am taking the Niners to win the game, but I think it'll be a field goal game, so I'm going to take the points.
I'm with Paul. And I'm hoping it's a close game. I'm hoping Carolina has an emotional either loss or win.
Okay.
And they come.
So far, so good. Okay.
And then the Patriots take advantage of that.
Okay.
And beat them.
I'm on board with
them. And you want Justin Smith to fall on Cam Newton's knee. And
yeah, hey, that's what I was
waiting
for.
I'm not
rooting
for
injury. I hope it's a deep overtime game and
right.
a bunch of guys get banged up. It's a really physical game.
I don't
game.
Root for injuries, but when they happen, I grudgingly accept them. Yeah, so I'll take the points, but San Francisco wins. Houston at Arizona, 425.
Cardinals by 2.5.
You're setting your TiVo.
Ron Rivera better be careful. He's the one who could go down based on the way things are working. What?
What are we talking about?
Houston yes. at Arizona.
He's been getting the coaches.
Right.
He's moved on from players, and he just takes out the head coach.
This would be the, that would be the third opponent in a row.
Ronnie Rivera needs to keep an eye out.
I was thinking Arizona-Houston. I was trying to figure out what the Ron Rivera.
No, he already got to Kubiak.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the game.
Houston and Arizona.
Never
2.5. Arizona by 2.5.
I'll take Arizona. I don't feel good about it, but I'll take them.
Yeah, the Texans are a mess.
They really are.
Who's their coach?
Wade Phillips.
Oh, yeah. Bum.
Son of Bum.
Son of Bum.
At Son of Bum.
I actually really like that one. That's his
Ask
name.
Aaron about Wade Phillips, and he'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Already has.
Do I have to?
I told you this already?
I'll take Arizona, Paul.
I will take Houston.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take Arizona.
To show you.
Yeah.
Sunday, 4:25, Denver at San Diego. Denver
by 7.
Denver at San Diego.
So begins the intermingling of the NFC AFC West that could
Denver
really change some
San
things.
Denver at San Diego.
I am going to take the Denver Broncos to win. What was the spread?
7.
Win and cover. Denver Broncos get it done. They can score some points. Why are there people gawking into our light system?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I wonder if they're finally going to take this stuff down.
That would be nice.
Now Eric
we don't
can
need
flail
it anymore.
And not have to worry about being injured.
Well, I was trying to get Kevin's attention for the pick here. The Denver at San Diego game, because I don't see Denver losing many more games this season, if any. So this week I'm going to have to say...
Oh, man.
Kevin!
He's got a lot of things going on there.
We might as well not even be doing a show.
I know, really. Know? Seriously.
Yeah.
I will take the Broncos as well. Fred, did you notice that Eric just gave you a little glimpse ahead right there of what he thinks is going to happen in a couple of weeks? I don't see Denver losing many more games. If any.
Oh, well.
If any.
Well, Eric's got a lot of games for the Patriots to lose if 7-9 is going to happen.
It was 9-7, first of all.
Still a lot of games they're going to lose.
I just would maintain that the whole ESPN the magazine, the 9-7 ESPN the magazine, they're one game off right now. They had them losing to Atlanta. It's the only game that they have not gotten right
really?
So far.
Okay.
And they picked them to go 9-7.
So a lot of losing coming.
So Paul is aligning with Pro Football Focus.
I am not. I picked them to go 12-4, Andy, so... I clearly did not align myself with ESPN, the magazine, and Pro Football Focus.
Oh, that was funny. They had the sports nerd on, and he was giving. He goes, so,
"I didn't mean that to sound as obnoxious."
Finally, he said, "Well, this is from Pro Football Focus," and you're like, "Oh, okay."
Oh, all right. Like, I said it really.
So
really,
now I understand why this is so
really.
Stupid.
I said it really, really.
Yeah,
I was an a-hole. I didn't mean that to come out that way.
It did.
Was our always will be.
I took
Denver
in the points.
Yeah,
I'll take Denver in the points. I was thinking of splitting it down, but no. All right, Sunday night, 8:30, Dallas at New Orleans.
Saints by 7.
Dallas.
Saints by 7.
I'm taking the Cowboys.
Really?
Yep.
I would take the Cowboys in Texas, but I don't know about New Orleans.
You took the Cowboys?
Taking the Cowboys.
To win?
Yep.
This is a toughie.
Upset.
This is a toughie. I will take the Saints at home, but I'll take the points as well. I think it's going to be a closer game than 7 points.
I like the Saints in this one. I think Dallas will get blowed out as they do every other week.
Jimmy Graham's going to have to live a lot of action.
I just out-talked myself, and I'm going to take the Texans because I'm mad at New Orleans for losing to the Jets.
Okay. Texans aren't playing.
Okay, well, Dallas is playing New Orleans, so who are you picking?
I'm picking Dallas.
Okay.
Because I'm mad at New Orleans.
You just said the Jets.
New Orleans. Oh, did I?
No, he picked the Texans.
You picked the Texans because you're mad at the Jets.
No.
And then you picked the Cowboys because you're
mad
at New Orleans.
I'm always mad at the Jets, but I'm picking the Texans because I'm mad at New Orleans for losing
the
to the
Cowboys
Jets.
The Cowboys are playing the Saints.
The Texans are playing
I mean the
Arizona.
Cowboys. The Cowboys. the team from Texas.
There are two of them.
Stroke. Not really.
What was that thing?
Not really. Mini.
NFI, TFI. Something. You just had one of those.
Okay, Monday night, 8:40.
Miami by 2.5.
Miami at Tampa Bay. Are they actually going to play football? Or are they going to have like a community forum at this game?
I will take Miami to win and cover because two teams that have been involved with rocky seasons, one seems to be galvanized against the world and that they're not what they are portrayed to be, and the other hates their coach. So
I was going
to
say the other's galvanized against the coach.
Right, so I'll take the team that is
that
sort of galvanized.
Together. Yeah, the Dolphins, I'll take them too.
Yeah, I originally thought that this was going to be a complete death knell to Miami, but it does seem like it's sort of holding them together. Yeah.
But talent-wise, it could still be. Their offensive line sucked and lost two starters.
Well, they have a good opponent to do this in. It's a game that they should be able, and if they can win it, they don't really care that it was Tampa Bay, winless Tampa Bay. It
just
sort of becomes
a
rallying cry. I'm going to take Miami to win.
Yeah, I'm going to take Miami as well. I think they bully them all over the field.
Oh, terrible.
All right, John Rooks here. He's getting ready for his final
playbook
of the
15 minutes.
Somehow we got them all in that time. I don't know how we did it.
Well, under my management.
Wow.
Well, we didn't do we didn't skip over the bye week.
That's why we got them all in.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
So, John, what's going on today in the playbook, your Thursday edition?
Game Show Thursday.
Game Show Thursday.
Game
all
Show
right.
Thursday, Fred. It's a tradition for the bye week around here.
This week.
Name that bully.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we won't quite go that far, but
okay.
I think you'll be. I've got the secret questions right here.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. We're ready to rock and roll, and we're going to give away fabulous prizes today.
Excellent. So stay tuned for John Rook and the playbook and win prizes. And then right after that is footballnation.com. As for us, no pregame social this weekend. Boys have the weekend off.
Woo-hoo!
We'll be back on Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.